you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'm MC Hammer. It's hot, it's summertime, but you can escape the heat by going into the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God.
What?
You can escape the heat too. Right now, get out the heat. Use the hot sun to be your excuse.
What?
Where I'm going, I'm on my way to church. Get out this heat, man. Call somebody, tell them to grab their Bible. Hammer, deal it with it.
Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Gay.
Don't believe anything they say. Allegedly, it's not true.
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
No, that's it.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Two cheers for Lisa. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now, deep breath and quiet.
Can Ronnie Millsap sing it or what? Misery loves company, and ain't that the truth?
And now,
my goodness, was that a mouthful?
Our feature presentation.
I was just asking Lisa. Am I on?
Yeah.
I was just asking Lisa last night if she misses her DJ days, and she said no. But now that I hear that, I realize that we as listeners are deprived. Now that she's not
true.
On the radio,
that's true. Because I'm magic.
You are good,
especially with the country music.
Wow.
It's your specialty.
This is my forte, yes.
Yeah. We're going to take your phone calls. It's 1-800-520-1067. It's the Monday edition, the Monday hangover edition of Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew, the Monday post-acoustic Christmas weekend edition of Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew. So it's going to be shaky, but you can provide your part at 1-800-520-1067.
Hank Williams Jr., and he's going honky-tonk, and well, why not? It's Saturday. That's what you do on a Saturday night, right?
Nope.
Right? Come on.
Isn't that
Come
right?
Come on, everybody.
A nut that's almost too good to share.
I share my nuts. Sometimes. It's 10:54.
Lisa.
All right.
Charlie Pride, and she's just too good to be true. That's what my honey always says to me.
Oh, but that
honey.
Is true.
No.
That is true.
That isn't
yeah.
true.
Xerox, the document company.
Problem. Forget it.
This is supposed to play something now. Wait a sec, because I'm going to make this work. This is the newest song, okay, with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton. Let's
yes.
see if this works or not. There it is. Let's try it now, because I really like this song. Oh, yeah. A little patience, and we'll get there, okay? Here's Dolly and Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
It gets worse every time I hear it.
I honestly... What? For those of you who don't know, Lisa was working with something called a cart, which is a preloaded cassette tape,
right.
essentially. And those always misfire. And I think you handled that awesome.
I did, too.
Because that happens to everybody, and that's a horrible situation.
That's happened to me 100 times, yeah. and not once did I handle it that well.
Well, thanks, guys.
Not one time.
I feel better a little.
By
Let's
the way,
go honky-tonking.
I love that. That's awesome. Hey, let me just say this now before we before people are awake and can hear it, and then we can get in trouble for
All
it.
Right.
And I told Mike this first thing when I walked in today. If you're in a band like, oh, I don't know, let's say Slightly Stupid.
Right.
Don't you go home after last night's show, after seeing Muse, and go, guys, we got to find a new career. We can't be in the same, we can't have the same job as those guys and still show up to work every day and be proud of what we're doing.
The problem is those guys, every band could say that about.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, I mean, they're just head and shoulders above most bands.
They are, and there were some great acts on the bill both nights, but no one's in their ballpark.
Even close.
Yeah, yeah, no one's even close. They're all. Everyone else is the Clippers, and they're the all-star team.
Yeah, yeah, they're amazing. Really amazing.
Crazy, right? Crazy good. I mean, you know they're going to be good, and then they come out and they're even better.
It's funny because we were waiting for them last night. I guess they were coming in from Vegas. They were late. And they weren't even there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 311's on stage. Everybody's like, all right, sure would like Muse to show up.
Was it, hey, see if 311 knows any more songs?
Yeah.
Was it getting to that point? Because I knew it took them a couple of minutes to get on the stage. Were they literally just arriving?
I'm not sure if that drum breakdown, drum line solo, 311, was supposed to last an hour and a half. I don't think so. But who knows?
Well, anyway, it was some good times, my friends. That's for sure.
All right, let's get started this morning with your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
All right. How about... Oh, wow. I love Mondays when they roll out the new prizes. How about a copy of Inglourious Basterds on DVD?
So
one
good.
Of the best movies of the year. Quentin Tarantino's high-octane World War II action thriller. Available on Blu-ray, and high-def DVD tomorrow. So that's what you get. Let's see if this works, by the way. How about that?
That
Omar.
Man right there.
Omar's the man.
That man right there.
I was watching him while we were talking about Lisa DJing country music, and he was running around and unplugging stuff and plugging this in and changing stuff, and I was thinking to myself, no way is that going to work. Not a chance.
Here's what I've learned from working here all these years. Omar is the only competent one in this room.
That is
he's
true.
He's the only guy who really knows what he's doing.
He's not in this room.
Oh. Easily. All right. What do we got?
All right. We have Matt. Let's begin with this. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Baby boo.
What it do?
I had the fear this Saturday.
Oh.
The fear.
The fear.
You don't want that.
Nope. Yeah, I'm in the military, had some training all week, was heading home to the family, and felt something coming up.
Yeah, I think we know how it works. I mean, we don't need that kind of detail.
Well, there may be people listening who don't know that the fear is shorthand for I have to go, and I have to go right now, and I can't wait to get to the bathroom.
Yeah, there's no timing it. There's right. No rushing or waiting, holding. There's just, you're out. It happens.
And wherever you are in the world, the only thing you can do at that point is drive to Psycho Mike's parents' house and head out to their gardens in the front yard.
Yeah. The fear.
The fear.
All right, so you had it.
Yep, and I wasn't close to the Psycho Mike's parents' house.
Okay.
So I pull off the freeway. I know where there's a restaurant. I go to the restaurant. Of course, I walk it, bust through the doors like a gangbuster.
Sure.
And the men's restroom is closed.
Oh! Nice.
You're thinking, oh my God, I finally made it to some porcelain. How could it be closed?
So if I'm bouncing back to my truck trying to keep this from happening.
Wait, did you check the girls' bathroom?
Oh, good question.
Because I would have just locked it and gone
sure.
in.
Sure.
Well, I'm in my military uniform, so I'm not about to do that.
Probably shouldn't. All right.
So I get back in my truck, and I circle the little shopping center there, wound up in the back, pop open both doors of my truck, get my pants down, and it was off.
It was off.
Oh, all right, that was too much play-by-play for
all
that
right.
story.
So, all right.
Congratulations. If you're calling us as an adult, calling us for congratulations on making a poo, well done.
Thank you for the call.
That's our military.
That guy
I
over there,
that.
he's in charge of securing this country, and he's so happy with himself that he was able to go potty.
I'm good with that. I'm down with that. All right, let's go to Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hold on. What'd it do?
Hey, I'm up at 5:30 in the morning because my roommate doesn't have to have a car, so I have to take her in the morning, and it sucks because I don't have to be at work till 2. So I had to get my ass
You don't
up.
Have to be at work till 2 this afternoon?
Yeah.
You drive your roommate every day?
It depends if she has to work this early, yeah. Sometimes I have to work this early, and so she'll drive me, so we have to help each other out. But...
I got one word for you. Bus.
Yeah.
How far away does your roommate have to go for work?
It's only like 10 minutes. It's not that bad, but it's just waking up early.
Yeah, when you don't
One
have to.
One of us doesn't have to.
Yeah.
What would that cost her if she took a cab?
A cab? I don't know, 10 minutes probably... 17 bucks.
Yeah,
maybe.
Man, that's a lot. That's a lot every day.
It is a lot.
Yeah, that would be a lot.
Yeah,
but well, we don't make that much money. So
I know, but getting up at this time of the morning when you don't have to be there till 2.
Yeah, that hurts.
Awful.
You are a good roommate. If I believed in karma, I would advise you that good things are going to come your way one day.
All right.
You're very nice.
All right.
Hey, whatever you do, don't go to Mark because I don't want to hear anything about the Dexter finale.
Me either.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it.
Dexter finale last night, best show on TV, and haven't seen it yet. So. Let's go to Albert, though. Hi, Albert.
Hey, what it do, guys?
What it do?
What it do? Hello.
What's going on?
Did you guys watch the Eagles game last night?
No, we were watching Muse at the time.
I watched part of it. They did have it out in the lobby where we were, and Ralph was watching every second of it and screaming, and I believe he was scaring everyone back there.
It was awesome. The Eagles won. Go Eagles!
So then we went out to introduce 311.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph, I said, you introduce 311, and you talk about the game or whatever. So he takes the microphone, and he goes, anybody from New York that here can suck it! 311! That was his intro.
Ralph gets fired up for every game as if he were on the 50-yard line in the stadium.
Yeah.
Doesn't
Absolutely
he? He brings
true.
It. He's decked out. He's wearing the outfit. He's screaming at everybody. I mean, he's invested in every single down.
They get like a yard, and he's jumping up and down, high-fiving everybody in the room, and... He's scary. I got to be honest.
All right, let's take one more. How about Louis, maybe? Louis is on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then we'll tell you what we have planned for today.
Hey, Louis.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do? Hello.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling.
I don't think we know why yet.
Oh, why?
Prize guest on night one of Acoustic Christmas, man.
The artist formerly known as Sublime.
Yes, yes, yes. It was awesome, bro. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's really, you know, we saw them here in the studio, and we were, you know, we thought they'd go over well as a surprise guest.
Yeah.
But you never know because of the whole thing, you know, with Bradley and with Rome and all that kind of stuff. But to see them play those songs live was so...
It was pretty cool.
It was really cool because it's been so long.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, yes, exactly. I guess a lot of people would think you'd never see them again. But, hey, man, thank you guys very much, man.
Dude,
awesome.
I enjoyed it as much as you did.
It was so interesting. Every once in a while, we'll have a surprise guest. And it was interesting to be there as the stage turn with no introduction, as people have to figure out who's playing.
Yeah, I love that.
And then once they recognize a couple notes into Date Rape, they go, oh, my God, I don't believe I'm seeing this.
Yeah.
And then they were
back
dancing and singing to every word.
There were two people behind me, and I was just watching because to see how long it took them, you know, to realize who it was. And while the stage was turning, before they even played, they were like, oh, my God, that's Sublime. And
wow, that didn't take long.
So great.
And then Alice in Chains was right after them, another band that 10 years ago you would have said, well, they were great, but we'll never see them.
Yeah.
I missed my chance with them, and they were great.
Another band with a deceased original lead singer.
Yeah. Which is why I brought it up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why he said
it. Exactly the reason I made the point,
that
Michael.
That was kind of the tie-in.
Awesome.
Let's get to Justin real quick, and then we'll move on. Hi, Justin.
What it do, nephew?
What it do,
babe boo?
What it do?
I just wanted to mention how it wasn't Cat amazing last night. Her voice was crystal clear.
Couldn't hear her. I have no idea. She introduced Muse, right? Nicole did. Who introduced Muse?
I want to say Cat.
Cat, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it was...
Cat lost her voice sometime
Thursday.
Yeah. And then by the time she was on the air and stuff, she was like, hey, everybody, it's Cat.
Voice completely gone.
A party with her and Dave.
Yeah,
those two together.
Thank you for bringing that up, Lisa. I would like to request that we talk to Dave sometime on this show.
Absolutely.
He also lost his voice late Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's
pretty
doing
much.
Today.
He loses his voice more than anyone I know.
But
Hey, Megan. I wanted him to introduce, 311. We went out there, but then I realized Ralph was going to yell at New Yorkers, so that would be better.
Sure. Well, I'm glad everybody had a good time. We'll talk about it more on today. But we got another one in the books.
Talk about that. Talk about all the details, all the backstage. You know, Fletcher.
Oh, is that a story?
The police.
Ooh, yep. I don't know that story.
Oh, you're going to love it.
He's really the best.
Excellent.
So we get to all that. We have a recap from this past weekend's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009. We have Joe Rogan in studio.
Yes, he's the best.
Talking about his comedy shows and about UFC 107.
Yes.
Anyone see the fight?
Nope.
BJ Penn? Not even a contest.
That's what I heard.
Just, not. It was like he was fighting a high schooler.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how good that guy is. We're going to talk to you if you hate Christmas.
Aww.
Tough time of year for you if you hate Christmas.
A lot of people hate Christmas.
True.
Is it because a man with a beard touched you once? I mean, where does the hate of Christmas come from?
We can ask. I don't know. Maybe so.
I mean, I know some people don't like having to interact with family.
Right.
For instance, I guess that's part of it.
I would guess, if I had to guess the number one, I would guess most people don't like the commercialization
of
it, but family has to cut in.
Oh, you know, yeah. Close They're second. Right in there.
Zoe Saldana would be on the program.
She's kind of hot.
A bit, yeah.
She's so hot, and she's so awesome, and she's in Avatar.
And she's in Avatar, for God's sake. So we're going to talk to her maybe about a half hour from now.
Sweet.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have Ray Romano on the program today.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of show.
And
usually we just skate on the weekend after, you know, the day after the weekend of Acoustic Christmas, but we're bringing
it
today.
Well, I don't know if we're bringing it, but we have a schedule that says we might
bring it. Let's see if we pull it off.
Yeah. So stick around for that. We got the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. What about Ralph Garman?
Is that Bean doing Bean?
Yes, that's me trying to do an impression.
Do a Bean impression?
I know.
It's not fair.
How are you, Ralph?
I'm tired.
Nice hanging out with you for 1 minute last night. Ralph was there.
You know where to find me. If you wanted to hang with me, I was the easiest guy in the whole building to find.
True.
I found him a couple of times just hanging
out,
screaming.
Very easy to find.
Yelling at everybody.
They had put a placard over my chair saying reserved for Ralph Garman right in front of the television.
Ralph was there until the EAGLES game started, and then he was gone.
I was still there.
Okay.
Yeah, stayed a lot longer than you.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice hanging out with you.
Paid the price, but I will do my best to bring you the latest and greatest in show business.
Yeah, right. What's going on? I didn't follow much news over the weekend.
Well, it is Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, thanks to Daily Variety. The Princess and the Frog, number one in its debut this weekend, $25 million for the Disney film.
Wow.
It's a throwback, by the way, to hand-drawn and painted animation, which is kind of nice to see. It's got a different feeling than the computer-generated stuff.
Supposed to be really great.
Yeah, everyone's raving about it. The music and the performances, all top-notch. The Blind Side, still up there in the top five.
Kevin.
Number two at the box office this weekend.
Kevin and all the other Sandra Bullock fans continuing to go see that.
Invictus was third. A Clint Eastwood film about apartheid and rugby.
That old story.
That old story. Twilight Saga New Moon was fourth. Disney's A Christmas Carol came in at number five. And then the bottom five of the top 10. Brothers, 2012, Old Dogs, Armored, and Ninja Assassin.
Hey.
Rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
Somebody got up this weekend and said, guys, let's go see Old Dogs.
Unbelievable.
That happened.
A lot of kids, I think.
By the way,
because my kids won it.
Ooh, Seth Green getting rocked to sleep by a monkey singing. That's what he said.
That did look funny. That did look funny.
This guy here.
I didn't go.
Your Honor. But I'm pointing him out of the courtroom. The blonde guy with the giant head.
If I would have had time, I would have.
I'm waiting for the double feature with Wild Hogs and Old Dogs together. That's what I want to see.
You know what opens this weekend? Avatar.
Yes.
Yep.
Everyone talking about the new 3D live action, big screen, science fiction epic from James Cameron, Avatar. Do you know the film is budgeted? It cost over $300 million to make.
Wow. Is that a record?
Another $125 million for marketing? No, sadly.
Wow.
So Fox is understandably nervous about the release this weekend, so we'll have to wait and see how it does. But to come out of the gate, $425 million in the hole, that's daunting.
It could be a smash hit and lose money.
Exactly.
Wow.
Daunting. The Taylor Squared. Swift and Lautner have made it official. They are a couple.
They're my accountants.
Swift and Lautner
are
your accountants?
Yeah.
They have come forward and said, yes, we are dating. Thank God. It's official. Now we can all relax.
I just don't care at all.
Taylor Swift has had quite a career for someone who turned 20 yesterday.
Yeah, it's stunning.
She's insane.
But at least she's ugly.
Right.
Not South Dakota. Everything going on.
Yeah.
Speaking of everything going on, this is Jared Folliwell from Kings of Leon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good to be him. Apparently, his ex-girlfriend Ashley Green from Twilight is seriously ticked off about being dumped. She tells Star Magazine they were getting serious when he dumped her for Dancing with the Stars / country singer Julianne Hough.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's the 1-2 punch for Jared Folliwell from Kings of Leon.
What's with that band, man? Aren't they all brothers or something?
That's
makes Lisa May sound like Casey Kasem.
Yeah, exactly. it's a good life for him. He's moving up.
Jared?
Yep.
Well, selling out will do that for you. Remember when they used to be good?
That's right.
Yeah. That's true.
Being a band is the best advice we can give you if you want to get chased.
It really is. Lisa, are you going out on the Deadliest Catch later?
I am here with
Dean. She's wearing a giant wool sweater that does look like Captain Zig is going to pick her up in about 20 minutes.
It's the biggest fisherman sweater I've ever seen anyone wear.
She could live on an ice floe for a week straight and be perfectly warm.
Because it's the Arctic in here with me.
It's
yes, it is.
She's going out crabbing later.
It's like 1% different.
Good luck with those crabs.
Yeah. And not the first time Lisa or that.
Benji Madden's got a new girlfriend.
Ooh.
Believe People magazine.
How?
He, of course, from Good Charlotte. He's apparently dating Holly Madison.
Hep's
former
what?
Girlfriend.
That's not true.
You got to follow Chris Angel, by the way, if you're dating Holly Madison. That's not
I wonder if he left any tricks behind or anything, you know, props. Yeah. Who knows what's going on with that guy?
Pull a rabbit out of her hat. And bad news for us, boys.
Uh-oh.
Steven Seagal, Lawman.
Yes.
No.
Don't say it.
The ratings were excellent on the first episode.
All right.
For A&E. It was the highest rated debut ever on A&E on the Basic Network channel.
But
however, the second week, viewership dropped 43%.
Oh, come on.
So that's almost half the viewers decided not to tune in for a second episode.
I make a living in the movies, but for the past 20 years, I've also been a cop. I serve the people of Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. My name is Steven Seagal.
Wait, who?
That's right. Attorney Steven Seagal, Deputy Sheriff.
That's right.
So everyone has to watch, because we need to keep that show in the air.
We've learned from doing this program that it's easy to get them to tune in once.
Yeah. Tough to get them to come back.
That's right.
That's right.
And Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo is out of the hospital. This is good news. However, it is sour irony regarding his release.
Why?
Because, you know, he was in a bus accident.
Right.
Lacerated his spleen, punctured his lung, had to be hospitalized near Albany, New York, where the accident happened. But on Thursday, he was discharged. Doctor said he was well enough to leave the hospital and recuperate at home.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Here's the thing. Because of the puncture in his lung, he can't fly. Because the changes in air pressure would adversely affect his lung. So they had to take him home back here to Los Angeles on a bus.
Oh.
You don't want to get back on a bus, do you?
No.
Not really.
No. No.
So, but he is home and safe and sound, so he's recuperating, which is good news. But still, that would suck to have to get back on a bus after that.
Same driver?
Same guy. Same bus. Okay. He's really tempting fate. Today's celebrity birthdays, not much of a list, really. Ginger Lynn.
Oh, okay.
Former adult film star Ginger Lynn.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
47 years old today. Cliff Williams, bassist of AC/DC, is 60. And Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical celebrates her 21st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We should put on a show with those guys. I think that'd be cool, Emerlin. That'd be awesome.
I believe they were there Saturday night. I believe we've already accomplished that this past weekend.
Morning, everybody. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:07.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I have to tell you, this is the United States of America, and I don't think it's acceptable that Avatar has already opened in Europe, and it hasn't opened here yet.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I would just like to say,
USA!
I mean,
USA!
That's kind of BS, right?
Totally.
We're number two!
We got the British have seen the movie, the freaking frogs have seen the movie, we're all sitting around on our thumbs going, wow, I sure wish it were Friday, it sure would be cool if we could see the movie too. Avatar is without a doubt the most anticipated film of 2009, of course, from the genius that is James Cameron. We got a chance to talk to him not long ago about the movie. Now we get to talk to one of the stars of the film, the beautiful Zoe Saldana, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Zoe.
Hi, you guys. Good morning. I mean, America's last because Jim likes to save the best for last.
Oh, nice
That's
try.
Very nice spin. Very
nice try.
And yet, since we don't have any choice, we're waiting and we're excited.
Exactly.
Let's talk about what that night was like when you world premiered in Britain after not only has the world been hearing about and waiting for Avatar for so long, but you guys who filmed this movie so long ago have got to have just been like, okay, now we're letting it out into the wild. I'm so nervous about what people are going to think. Was it like that?
I mean, I would hate to blow all the men their cover, but we were so
Hey, easy with that kind of talk. Wow.
Like, it was so, you know, everybody from the crew to Jim and all the actors, and it was a very emotional night for all of us to have that world premiere and to finally showcase the movie to an audience, and to have the overwhelming beautiful feedback was we were beside ourselves all night.
It sure seems like a lot of pressure to be in any movie that's this anticipated. You just go, man, you know, one people have that high expectations because for the most part it's impossible to satisfy that.
Yeah, but you know something, I almost feel like it's good pressure because we believed in this project from the beginning. We knew it was going to be something really special and also kind of like art film gravity defying, if there's any such phrase to say, because we were working with a technology that was going to be so new. However, it was not going to change the approach that each and every one of us actors were going to have to our characters. It's the same approach that I had on this character than any other character that I've ever done in terms of the training and the mental preparation and all the research and everything. If anything, it was more intense.
It was the same research as Drumline?
Well, yeah, trust me. Do you think it was easy for me to drop it like it's hot?
So, I'm going to go with yes.
So when you were on set making this movie, as fantastic as it was and how considering how many things were different, it was essentially the same for you as doing other films? You didn't have to wear like lots of crazy suits and do lots of things with green screen and whatnot?
Well, this was actually more intense because I've never been challenged by such a character, by such a role in my acting career, where I needed every physical training and preparation and mental as well. It's the first time I'm playing a non-human, so I really wanted to do justice and bring this species to life along with the other actors that were playing the Na'vi. So it was a lot of, you know, martial arts training and movement training and archery and horseback riding with no saddle, of course.
Wow.
That was fun.
Sure.
I was like these Frisians that have, like, the really wide backs. Oh, my God. I look like a little puppet like that.
Now, with your martial arts training, you could kick all our asses?
I have to say, don't get me mad after we've had a pint of beer.
Okay. All right,
all right. We're talking to Zoe Saldana, by the way, about Avatar, which opens everywhere on Friday. Tell me about James Cameron, if you can, in that we have heard that he is so committed to a project and has his fingers in everything. I mean, he's a screenwriter, producer, director. He shoots some of it. He's involved in every second of the film, everything that's on the frame. Is that tough when you have a guy that's into so many different things to work for? I mean, I would imagine, I don't want to say control freak because that has so many negative connotations, but I mean, he knows exactly what he wants at every minute.
Be a bit of a conundrum or a canker sore if he was controlling, and Jim is everything but that. He's the most generous filmmaker with his art and with his knowledge. He conceived this and he lived with this project in his head for over, you know, 10, 12 years. However, the moment he was able to manifest that, he knew that he couldn't do this alone. So he hired the most amazing people all around him and a cast that felt so passionate about his story. And he was just like, all right, you guys, let's all run with it. And that was his approach every single day on the project.
Hmm. We've got a clip from the film. We've been trying for years, Zoe, to bring clips to radio. And I don't know if it's going to catch on or not. But we do want to play a clip of your character in the movie Avatar, opening everywhere Friday.
Do not look in her eyes. Tan Tan, Seze. Ikran is not horse. When Sahelu is made, Ikran will fly with only one hunter in the whole life. To become Aronio hunter, you must choose your own Ikran, and he must choose you.
When
you are ready.
All right. I don't know what any of those words mean.
Help. What the F is what we're saying. Help.
Trust me. At starting Friday, you guys will know exactly what Sahelu is and an Ikran. You guys are going to want to buy your own Banshee.
I want one now.
I don't even know what a Banshee is, but it sounds good. There really is a new language in the film that was invented for the movie, right?
And when you're doing the lines, if you use the new language that's invented, you use the wrong word, does somebody stop and go, no, what's wrong with you?
There was this.
Really?
Well, there was this linguist from USC, Paul Frommer, that Jim hired to help him develop this language. And not only did he translate all the dialogue that was in the script, he actually created a language. That's how passionate he felt about this. And there were times in which I remember very specifically when I called Paul and I put Jim I held Jim aside too. I was like, well, I need a word to call Jake, you know, whenever I'm frustrated, whenever my character's frustrated at him, and also to call Sam whenever me. As my person, whenever I'm frustrated at Sam. And he sent me an email saying, oh, call him Skaung. And I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, it means moron.
Nice. Nice.
Well, the movie looks fantastic. We've been talking about it a lot on this show, and it's been hard to get away, but it's finally going to be here on Friday. And as you sit down to Christmas dinner, Zoe, you have to be looking back at 2009 and go, Star Trek, Avatar, this is actually happening to me.
Santa's been pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't complain. But one thing I have to say is, guys, especially to the men, bring tissue. Not only for your girlfriends, but for yourselves.
Really?
And hide behind those 3D glasses, because what's the most amazing thing about this movie, the technology complements the story, but it doesn't overpower it. This is a beautiful love story, and it's about two individuals like coming together and fighting for something that's right, and you guys are going to be taken for a huge ride.
I got to tell you, if you were to ask me, hey, which movie's going to make you cry, I would not go with Avatar.
Which movie are you going to for the love story?
We should talk after it then, because you're going to be like, oh, my God.
I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying it wouldn't have been my guess.
All right, Zoe. Well, thank you for the time today. We're looking forward to the film, and have a very, very happy holiday, my dear.
See you guys. Bye.
Thanks very much.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, sandwiched in between Zoe Saldana from Avatar and coming up next, Ray Romano from the new show Men of a Certain Age. Ladies and gentlemen, our old friend Harvey Levin joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Hi, guys. I was May.
Hi, Harvey.
Sorry we didn't. I know you don't go to things, but I thought we might even see you at the Acoustic Christmas shows over the weekend.
Tyler, my assistant, was there.
Yeah. Oh, did you have a good time?
He had a great time.
Great.
Harvey is a little overworked.
Yeah, he's too busy to do anything that's fun. All right, Harvey. Well, listen, I didn't think it would still be alive.
I watched Dexter last night. Oh,
don't talk about it. Don't say anything.
Don't.
Because we were at the show last night, so we couldn't see it.
We haven't seen it. Don't say anything.
I don't want to know.
Please.
Ask me how at least it was.
No, was it good?
Was it good?
Oh, that's such a great show.
That's a tease. I didn't think it would still be alive more than 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, but Tiger Woods continues to unveil new layers to this onion. It seems like almost every day. What's going on with our boy?
Oh, boy. Well, there's a picture surfacing now that Elon is out and about around the mansion without the wedding ring.
Right.
No surprise, I guess.
Sure.
But she is there without it. Meanwhile, Child Protective Services went by last Friday because of all of the commotion. You know, there were rumblings about domestic violence, and obviously, you know, there are issues. So
right.
Child Protective Services went out there. They did a check, which they said is routine. It's not an investigation yet, at least as far as we know. But that happened as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's because of the reports that Tiger was hit by his wife, right?
Yeah, I mean, we put a story up that the foyer was really damaged. There was quite the commotion inside the house.
Really?
Yeah. And, well, you know, she saw him texting, and that's how this whole thing started.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up calling Rachel on the phone.
Right.
And confronted her.
And did they laugh and have a great time?
Not really.
Not really.
Oh,
not don't you love
really.
It when he does that thing with his tongue?
Oh, man.
Start comparing notes. Harvey, has anyone outside of medical and law enforcement professionals seen Tiger Woods since this incident happened?
You know, no. He's been, you know, he has been, there are a couple of things going on. One is, you know, he was in bad shape. I mean, everybody says it was minor, there was no problem, but they had to stick a tube down his throat, and they admitted him as an overdose. And when they stick a tube down your throat, you know, it's hard to talk for a while.
Yeah.
But that's probably, he's probably got bigger problems than that. No, he's been underground. But the interesting thing is, there were some reports that surfaced that he was on his yacht in Palm Beach. Well, guess who was in Palm Beach, who went to Palm Beach for a couple of weeks on Saturday?
One of his hoes?
Rachel Yuga.
Wow.
He should not be in the same state as her right now.
She has a family home down there, and we're told that she says that this was a prearranged trip. Nonetheless.
Yeah, wouldn't you think if you're Tiger, you wouldn't even be in the same continent
as
her? Exactly. I'm just surprised to hear that it's possible that he got out of his house without people seeing it. My impression was it was turning into the Alamo over there, and he just wasn't ever going to come out.
I don't think he's in the house.
You don't?
Right.
He probably has a system of underground tunnels or something like that so he can come and go.
No, I don't think he's in the house. I mean, Elon is there. Her sister's been there. Her mom's been there. Yeah. Kids are there. I just don't think.
Tiger's sleeping in his car somewhere.
Well, they have a villa, and we had heard that there's a villa in the same complex that they used while their house was under construction.
Right.
But I had heard for a while he was there, and he may still be there. But I really don't think he's in the same house, though we're not positive.
But can you imagine the woman that you cheated on, her mom, her sister, like the whole family is
there's
there.
No way.
They're all staring at you.
Could possibly be there.
That would be so uncomfortable, I would have to leave.
Yeah. There's no way. Now, we just put up the invitation to the wedding of the guy who secretly arranged the trip with Rachel.
And he was supposed to be the best man, right?
Yeah, and actually we've got, if you go to the site, you'll see it on the site where it says best man. We kind of highlighted, but it says best man Tiger Woods on the wedding invitation.
Uh-huh.
So we've got that up there. He did not show.
Didn't show up. What a surprise.
Oh, they talked about it a lot.
Not sure. All right, one more thing. We're talking to the great Harvey Levin from TMZ.com right now. We saw something called Accenture that I never heard about, is a global management service company, and I don't know what that is. They, I guess, dropped Tiger as a spokesperson. Is this a domino starting to fall, or is that just going to be the exception and the big clients, the Nikes in the world, are going to stay with him?
Well, look, Gillette is phasing him out. Gatorade says that they had made a plan to phase him out, but I didn't believe that story. It just didn't make any sense.
Right.
Is this coincidental? I mean, look, on the one hand, he is a liability to them right now. I mean, this is not the person you want. They're really image conscious. And as good as his image was before, this is not where these companies want to be.
Right.
On the one hand. On the other hand, again, I mean, you guys and I think we were talking when the whole Kobe Bryant thing went down.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, nobody believed back then that he would ever get another endorsement. And look at him now. So I don't know that you can count him out.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, I'll tell you, we put some polls up on the website. We put 6 polls up, and they're getting huge traffic
right.
yesterday. We just wanted to kind of see, and we said Turkey Day 2010, distant memory with a question mark.
It depends on the backlog of stuff that still is coming out every day.
That's true. Plus, that divorce won't be over by then.
What do you think?
Maybe 2011.
Okay, Lisa May, what do you think the vote was on that, the percentage?
I would say about 20% said it'd really be over with by then.
I would agree with you, but guess what? It was 50-50.
Really?
Oh. Hmm. 50% of the people said that this would still be a hot-button issue and there would still be no sponsors, he wouldn't be playing golf and all that?
Well, yeah, but I would have thought it was higher. I thought that's what Lisa May was saying. I would have thought that fewer people would say it would be a distant memory.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I would think it would be a distant memory. I mean, I think it... I mean,
have no doubt that this will blow over. At some point,
right.
I mean, we've seen it enough times
right.
that he is not critically damaged here.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bad couple of years, but he'll be okay.
Well, two more. Tiger yes. sponsors, they'll be back or gone for good. What do you think?
They'll be back.
Yeah, 62% said they'll be back.
Nike won't leave.
Money.
Their slogan is just do it. I mean,
and that's what he did.
Right.
He followed their advice.
So they got to be cool.
Okay, now the final one. Who would you rather, Elon or Rachel Yucatel?
Elon over anyone else you can put up there. Doesn't matter who else she's up against. Elon wins.
She's 10 times as hot, but...
She's also going to be really, really rich.
She's going to be...
yeah. But Rachel will do things Elon won't do. That's what I'm telling you.
You're going to say that.
Yeah. That's what's going on.
That's true, yeah.
All right, listen, get to your meeting. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Check your local listings across this great country for TMZ television. Great to talk to you, Harvey. I guess we won't talk to you again before Christmas, dude. And Hanukkah's underway, so happy holidays to you and your staff, man.
And thank you. So you guys are taking off?
Yeah, we're done in a couple of days, right.
Nice gig.
Have a great one, dude.
You too, guys.
Thanks.
Bye, Harvey.
Bye-bye
now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That, of course, is Muse. They played last night at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009. It is 6:39.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. What are they whispering at the end of that Muse song? It sounds like they're saying bag of hose.
Supermassive black hole.
All black hole.
Yeah. Well, the hole got to be black.
That's a great question, Lisa. Hey, Joe Rogan joins us later on today. I'm very excited. Later in the week, I get emails every year about this time going, where's Santa Carl? Santa Carl is going to be here on Wednesday's show. So you get your little boy or girl to come on and talk to Santa Carl. That's a big thrill. All right, Kevin, you want to introduce our next guest?
Hey, Ray.
Yo.
Ray Romano. What's going on, dude?
What's up, man? How are you?
Well, first of all, happy holidays to you. Second of all, rave reviews for This Man of a Certain Age, which did big numbers over there when you premiered last week on TNT. The people are digging it.
It did big cable numbers.
Yeah.
All right.
Cable numbers.
Well, it's on cable, right?
It's on cable.
Okay, so that's acceptable.
Those are the numbers that it's going to do.
Yeah, but tonight's the key. They got to come back.
It's the second night, right?
Yeah, we're not locked in yet. We got to... I mean, the reviews were great, so we can't complain about that.
Ray, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, so forgive me, but a guy like you...
7 inches.
No, that wasn't it. A guy like you who literally now, people, and I know what that word means, literally wipes his ass with $100 bills. Why are you working? Why are you getting up and going to do a new TV show right now?
You know what it's like? It's like, if you remember Officer and a Gentleman, the movie,
mm-hmm.
remember when they were trying to kick Richard Gere out, Lou Gossett Jr.,
yep.
and he was on the floor going, I got nowhere else to go. I got nothing else to do.
Right.
I got to do something.
But you're at home. You have your family.
You answered my question.
All right. So you didn't care what the job was. It could be working McDonald's. Just get me out of the house.
Not quite. I mean, it was fun being off for a while, but it was
right.
4 years. I mean, about 6 months after Raymond ended, I started getting that, you know,
itch.
Who the hell am I kind of feeling. You
right.
know, I mean, I was doing stand-up for 11 years and then the show for 9 years. So it was 20 years of doing what I do, mm-hmm. I guess. So when I don't do what I do, I don't know who I am, I guess.
No, I understand. I totally get what you're saying. Now, how different is this character from your Everybody Loves Raymond guy?
He's got a lot of the same crap that I got, you know.
Yeah. Neurotic.
Yeah. I mean, look, we took in Raymond, it was kind of me, but in a sitcom form. And in this, it's kind of me, but in a more of a, I mean, look, it's considered a drama. It's TNT. You know, they know drama.
They do. I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah. So I hate saying it's a drama because it is funny also, you know. And I hate saying it's a comedy because people think it's a comedy, they're going to be disappointed.
Say the word.
Yeah. It's a dramedy.
Dramedy. All right. Now, why do people hate that word so much?
I don't know.
It's a dramedy.
Lame, kind of a lame word.
Now, how did you pick this particular storyline? Did you try to do something that was completely different from Raymond on purpose? What was your...
Well, I was going to do a sitcom, that's for sure. I didn't want to follow... that.
Right.
I couldn't follow myself, you know. And me and Mike Royce, who wrote on Raymond, we after about 6 months after Raymond ended, we both got together and said, what do we do next? And go, well, we write what we know. You know, that's what worked on Raymond in the sitcom. You know, I knew about that family. I knew about all that stuff.
Right.
And I go, well, what do you know? I go, and he said, well, I'm bald and I'm getting fat, you know. And I said, well, I kind of know that. I'm not bald.
You should have written a show called Bald and Fat.
Yeah, I was like, touch this. yeah, so we just figured, you know, we're at this age where we kind of, you know, for different reasons. Look, every person may go through this for different reasons. They have their own insecurities and they have their own crisis. Look, I couldn't write about a guy whose show just ended.
Right.
Who's going to watch, you know, Seinfeld's the only one who's going to relate to that show.
Right, just right. Him.
But I was going through some of the stuff that guys go through, so we said let's make money on it.
Now you got Scott Bakula,
yeah.
who's great, and you have Andre Brower, who is he's amazing.
Who's really? I mean, they're all great, but yeah, he's.
But he's the best of the three of you, though, right, Ray? I mean, let's just be honest. Let's put it on the table.
If we win an Emmy, it's going to be him.
Yeah, I mean, he just stands. He's above everybody.
He's one of my favorite actors of all time. I love this dude.
Well, he's got that. You know, we didn't pitch it for him. We didn't picture him because we wrote the part as an African American. He's a friend of ours. He's overweight. He's kind of put upon. He's kind of beaten down. And we actually had Wendell Pierce in mind. I don't know if you know who Wendell Pierce is.
No, I don't recognize the name. No.
He was on The Wire.
The black guy on The Wire? I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And he came and met. We almost had him, but then another show came up. He had to leave. So somebody pitched Andre Brower, and I like you. I pictured Homicide, this guy in full command. This, you know, in charge. And I go, no. And then he came in. He met, and... I'm like, you know, he had put on a few pounds. I don't know if you saw the pilot, but he's not ashamed of sitting there with his shirt off.
And that's amazing to me in a world where people are really conscious about what they look like.
Obsessed
and
with image, yeah.
He really just, he had let himself go, and he was good with that.
He had a little, as I've seen in reviews, he had the man boobs.
Right, he did. He had boobs.
Yeah, boobs on a dramedy. That's what we're talking about here.
He's not afraid. He's not afraid to let it hang out, you know. And but he opens his mouth and he speaks and it's like James Earl Jones. You know?
Yeah.
This is the voice of Ray Romano on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his new show called Men of a Certain Age. Episode 2 airs tonight on TNT at 10. It is getting great reviews. And let me tell you, Ray, I did not see last week. I apologize. I definitely want to catch up. But from what I understand from all the reviews, you guys are able to walk that line about this topic that could be so cliched and is so often presented as the guys are just cartoons.
Yeah, I hope you're going to watch it because I noticed that you get on these kicks on shows and you kind of really...
Yeah, he does.
When you like them, you really go off on them.
Yeah, and most of the time they're not as good as he says, but you...
I'll take that.
Yeah, I know, I hear you.
But, I mean, that's a fine line to walk when you're talking about this topic because it could be cliched and it could be dumbed down, but apparently you guys are, you know, the writing is so crisp on this show that they seem like real people who are dealing with real situations, and that's not common necessarily on TV these days.
Well, you know what's cool is we just wrote it, you know, and we kept it, I hate to use that phrase, but we just kept it as real as we could, and we kind of knew what we wanted to say. And then you read these reviews, who are very smart people, and they intellectualize it, you know. They say the metaphor we're going for and the, you know, the social commentary we're making, and we're like, all right.
Good.
Say so.
We'll take that. We didn't have it, but we'll take it.
All I wanted was a girl with big boobs to walk by and see, look at her.
Speaking of which, tonight's not the sex scene.
Tonight's what?
Not the sex scene.
No. Okay.
Who does a sex scene? Does Ray have a sex
yes.
scene?
Yes. So I'm just saying, I just want to make sure tonight is safe.
Hey. I'm not naked, though. I'm not naked. It's
a body double?
We work around it.
Let's play a clip from Ray Romano's Men of a Certain Age for folks who want to get a feel for what this is like.
Trying to bring that back to radio. It may not work, but here's the clip from the show.
You screwed up your marriage for this. Now you back at it again?
I'm not gambling.
Hey, you know what? Turn to the Travel Channel.
Listen to me. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want. All right?
There it is.
No, that's right. I'm an adult. I can make up my own mind, all right? I'm 47 years old.
47?
Yeah, that's right.
We're 48.
No.
You can't be 47 because I'm 49.
How old am I?
Melissa, how old is Joe?
48.
We're 48, man.
Holy shit.
What happens, man?
That's what happens. Man of a Certain Age tonight at 10 on TNT. Ray, always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We appreciate the time. Good luck with the show.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks, appreciate it.
Thank you. Coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show, we're going to tell you about a musician you've heard of that we play on our show who very nearly got arrested Saturday night at the Almost Good to Christmas 2009 show.
He was in the police car.
He was in the police car.
Modest Yahoo?
I can say no more.
Was it Modest Yahoo?
One of the funniest stories you've ever heard coming up in about 10 minutes.
Too much Manischewitz.
Plus, we're going to want to hear from you if you were there as we
celebrating
recap.
Celebrating the Festival of Lights?
The Acoustic Christmas 2009.
Ralph, I'm talking and you're ignoring me.
Ralph Garman is here with the showbiz
was it Feist?
For a Monday.
You know, they have to give us the day after Acoustic Christmas off.
Yes.
Or provide cots in the studio.
Never happens. And cocktails so that you don't end up hungover on the air.
Cot.
Yeah.
Cot. Provide cots.
Something to lay on.
Exactly. Because there's no place to nap here.
Yeah.
And I need that more than anything.
We were out late, and this place is a ghost town except for us.
No one else shows up.
No.
Why do we have to be here?
Because we do a radio show that's on at this time of day.
Ah.
We need to change
No one else has our job. There's that's why we have
rub.
To show up.
There's the rub. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this week, and according to Daily Variety newspaper, The Princess and the Frog. Ooh, distant bells for The Princess and the Frog. $25 million. Number one at the box office this week, and The Blind Side. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that means Sandra Bullock did not see him coming when he sneaked up behind her, right?
That's what the blind side means? Give it to her in the blind side.
Yep. Yelp surprise.
Sandra Bullock takes it in the blind side.
It's a football term for the blind side quarterback. Can't see the guy come.
That's what it's about.
You know what? I never knew that.
It is.
Until just now.
Oh, yeah. The blind side. The eye that cannot see.
Yeah.
Lonely housewife Sandra Bullock takes in a giant black teenager and gives him his own bedroom. You know what I mean, giggity?
Nothing like that. I have to soil everything.
Giggity. Yeah, right in the blind side.
It's a fantasy a lot of women have.
15.5
Invite a black teenager to come live with you.
Made it number two.
It's not what this was.
Invictus. Yeah, right in the Victus, baby. Put it Invictus. I don't even know what that means. It was number three at the box office. Twilight Saga New Moon was fourth. Disney's A Christmas Carol was fifth. Brothers, 2012. Old Dogs, Armored, and Ninja Assassin.
Hey!
Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Well, the next generation of stars is already taking over Hollywood, boys and girls.
All right.
You know, Will Smith's son, Jaden, is the star of the new Karate Kid remake.
Hey!
Guess who else has a small role in that movie?
Modest Yahoo.
Modest Yahoo, that's right. Maddox Jolie Pitt.
Oh, really?
That name sounds familiar.
Maddox is acting?
Maddox is now acting as well, apparently. Oh. He will be starring in that movie along with Jaden. So they're already grooming their replacements.
Huh.
The Master Race is already grooming the next stage of the Master Plan. We're all eliminated, and they just have beautiful people roaming the earth. We're all in concentration camps.
I think Will and Jada's daughter, Willow, is an actress also, and she's got some stuff coming out.
See? I remember her in that movie. She was a dwarf or something.
Nope.
They had a baby in the woods or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saw Willow.
That.
She was good in that.
Nice. That's real talk right there, man.
Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green.
What?
Apparently having troubles again.
Oh,
yeah. On the rocks again.
Yeah. Was it because of Psycho Mike's great performance?
Because Psycho Mike made such an impression on her when he met her at that store and went,
and I did it.
They're battling over where to spend the holidays.
Does sound like trouble.
According to AbsoluteNow.com, she wants to spend the holiday season with her friends and family, and he's insisting on splitting the time between their families, and apparently that's not going over too well.
I used to listen to you guys before you started talking about me so much, and then I couldn't take it. I can't listen anymore.
Why? We love you.
Too much, maybe. We scare her.
And with all the vampire movies being the rage these days, you know, the Wolfman's making a comeback, too.
Can't wait.
Right? You've got Taylor Lautner, who was the host of SNL this weekend, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Him being a wolf.
He was a wolf? I didn't see the episode.
In the movie. What?
He was a wolf on the episode? On SNL? Or he's in the movie?
Moon. He's a wolf. Movie.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. I got you.
Well,
I thought you were talking about Wolfman, and then I was confused. I'm sorry. Let me rewind.
Look, if I can follow it.
I know, yeah. But I'm lost.
Really, that should be the...
And then you've got Benicio Del Toro starring as Wolfman in the new Wolfman movie from Universal. Right. Well, it's just a matter of time before they bring back the classic Teen Wolf.
Yes!
Are you kidding?
Teen Wolf!
Are you kidding?
MTV is bringing back Teen Wolf as a TV series.
Oh, no.
What?
Tyler Posey will star as the high school student who gets a new rush of powers as he becomes a wolf in his high school and takes the world by storm.
But then he scores a basket even though he's not a wolf anymore.
Right.
We're here with Tracy Jordan, who just recounted, by the way, the entire plot of the movie Teen Wolf.
How does Bean have Larry King Teen Wolf audio?
You tell me. I don't know. It's scary.
Thought one day it might come in handy.
Hold on
and
to that.
It did.
Today's celebrity birthdays, December the 14th. Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical is 21 years old today. Porn star Ginger Lynn celebrates her 47th birthday. Bassist Cliff Williams of AC/DC is 60 years old. I'm Ralph Garman, and I need a nap.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the day after the weekend that was the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 show. If you have anything that's funny or interesting or exciting that happened to you or that you saw, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. I'm just disappointed Psycho Mike did not close with Idrina Patridge from The Hills, because I thought that was supposed to happen this weekend.
I failed, man. Sorry.
He closed with everyone else from what I saw.
Idrina, by the way, is not one of these I hate to speak well of somebody on The Hills. Not one of these celebrities who shows up because it's a scene and she wants to be there where it's hip.
Yeah.
She actually loves this music and was watching every single band.
When I was talking to her last night, she was sore and her feet were hurting from rocking out so much. Like, her head was hurting from headbanging and she was all beat up.
Yeah.
Are you sure? That was from the concert?
I sure hope so.
That sounds like a lot of other injuries.
We have a story to tell you about a musician that we know and love almost getting arrested. We'll tell you that in one moment. But first, this is a fascinating thing about working with Kevin.
Yes.
Because no matter what time the show starts, and it doesn't matter whether it's our regular day job that we do every day or if it's a live event someplace else, no matter what time it starts, Kevin arrives anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 minutes after that point. It doesn't matter whether he's traveling 40 feet or 3,000 miles.
I could have driven from New York. I would still get there.
He would still get there 3 minutes afterwards.
I mean, if you think about that, his timing is unbelievably good.
Yes.
It's just 3 minutes off.
Right.
But it's always exactly 3 minutes
off. That's what
Pete
has always said. If you can always be 3 minutes late, why can't you always be on time?
It's true.
It's crazy. So every live event that we do, Kevin always misses the opening of that show. Thank God Ralph Garman, man of a thousand voices, is standing by. And I love this because most people listening can't even tell it's not Kevin.
How
because,
dare you?
Because Ralph is so uncanny as he plays Kevin like he did on the radio this weekend.
I'm Bean. Here's my partner, Kevin.
It's the 2000-year Christmas party. Backstage, roast occasion for Christmas.
Kevin, it's a little early for you to be here.
I have had the granola bar.
Say it.
Wait.
I have had a granola bar. And my mouth is very dry.
Are you thirsty?
You're
thirsty?
Water.
Very thirsty. And I'm a long time fan Christmas.
All right, try this. Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Eggnog Acoustic Christmas.
2009.
201.
Okay, so that's Saturday. So now you would think that Kevin has been so soundly mocked that surely Sunday rolls around, he's going to be there
of
on
course.
Time. So we can't do that again.
But I was there early Sunday.
And then walked away because you saw something shiny, and when the show started, you weren't there.
I wasn't there then, yeah.
Here's Ralph one more time as Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how you feeling today?
I'm not good in Christmas time.
I'm sorry? I can't?
I'm not having no good Christmas.
Why aren't you having a good time?
Too many drugs, alcohol for me.
There's some of that going around.
I have stolen a tram.
Okay, that wasn't you.
I am very sick.
You have to pace yourself, Kevin. It's a long night with lots of hours and lots of bands.
I have smuggled heroin in my colon, and the bag's exploded.
I hope that's not true.
That is true. I am pooping heroin.
Oh, please don't say that.
By the way, that's the name of my autobiography, is Pooping Heroin. I hope you pick it up.
Speaking of stealing a tram, yes. What's the deal?
Fletcher,
Lisa has not heard this story
yet.
Fletcher from Pennywise.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Monster of a man.
Yes,
huge.
Giant.
Huge guy. Future resident at some sort of Dr. Drew addiction specialist recovery center.
Of course.
He shows up on Saturday night and I see him and I'm like, all right, now it's a party. Now that Fletcher's here. He's like, yeah. And he was being really funny. So then about an hour later, I run into him again. I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? Any hijinks? And he's like, it's about to happen. So I was like, okay, fantastic. But then I didn't see this. So I pieced it together with a whole bunch of different people that did saw part of it, talked to him, whatever. Nicole and a bunch of different people. And we're going to talk to him tomorrow, I think, Fletcher.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. Goes into the pit for AFI, which was the last band on Saturday night. He doesn't have the wristband for the pit. Just walks past the security because he's so big.
Yeah.
So he goes in there and the security kick him out. Okay. He goes willingly. He's fine. Leaves the venue. Walks out, waits for the shuttle to go back to the hotel where everybody was staying.
Mm-hmm.
Sees the tram at Universal Studios. The tram is the six cars that are kind of, you know, together. They take you around. On your left is the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Keys are in it. Fletcher takes it and is going to drive it to the hotel. That's his idea.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to drive the tram to the hotel because there's no one here. There's no transportation.
He should load it up, too, with people.
Sure. Didn't. Just himself. Charge. Just him. And then he was going to. I imagine he was going to show up at the hotel and go park this and make sure nothing happens to it. But
by the way, I'm no expert, but the tram doesn't seem freeway ready.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't seem like it would possibly go fast enough to be able to bring onto the freeway.
The hotel was not that far away that he had to get on a freeway.
Okay.
But he, of course, in his state, didn't necessarily take the shortest route to the hotel. So it involved a tour of Universal Studios at like 1 in the morning. And it turns out they don't give those tours at 1 in the morning. So he's driving all around Universal. He goes past all of the different things.
The different lots where they
different
have all
lots,
the...
All the different stuff like that, right? And he gets down by Jaws, and the tram runs out of gas.
Oh.
So now it's stalled, and he's like a half a mile from where we are at Gibson Amphitheater. So he doesn't know what to do, and I guess this old guy that he described as the Crypt Keeper shows up in a van. I guess he's a security guard or something. He says, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" And Fletcher goes, I'm a tram driver. I'm giving a tour." There's no one else there. He has one friend, but there's no one else on the car. So the guy goes, "I don't think so. Maybe you should get in the van with me." So the guy starts to try and take him to security.
Oh.
And this, from what I'm piecing together, I'm not positive this is all true. We'll check tomorrow. But apparently he... pulled the brake, the emergency brake, because he didn't want to be taken to security, and had a brief scuffle with the Crypt Keeper.
Okay.
And fled the van.
He goes running.
Yes.
Okay.
He and his friends split up because they figure they have a better chance of getting away. So the police are called. The police are now on the lot of Universal, and they're trying to find him. And he is, from what I can tell, hiding in the fuselage of one of the planes in the War of the Worlds.
Oh, my God.
Exhibit, right?
Man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
Now, Fletcher's not a guy that can hide.
No.
I mean, if you don't know who we're talking about, he's 6'8".
6'8"? Yeah. 320 pounds,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, he's this huge guy. Yeah. So he's hiding for a while. The police finally find him. And the Crypt Keeper doesn't know who he is. So they can't really identify him, and of course Fletcher's not going to tell the police. So the police ended up letting him go, but only after a brief stalemate where the police, again, I'm just getting this secondhand, but the police took the taser and had it pointed at Fletcher's balls.
Dude.
And said, "Do you know how much this will hurt?
Don't tase me, bro."
And Fletcher was standing there with the stun gun to the balls. Apparently, he was mouthing off or whatever, and that's when they put him in the police car. So eventually, they let him go, and the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal Studios, has now, according to everybody that I talked to, banned him for life.
From
Gibson, from anything having to do with that property.
What happens when Pennywise wants to play there?
I imagine they reverse their decision, but I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And then he said, we might have to test that out tomorrow, the Saturday night. We might have to test that out tomorrow night. He was going to come back last night. So I spent the whole night looking for him, and he didn't show up. But,
that's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Yeah, great story.
He was going to drive it to the hotel.
Good morning, binge drinkers.
I mean, he's unbelievable. He's one of my favorite people in the whole world. And we will talk to him, Fletcher, from Pennywise, tomorrow morning on The Kevin and Bean.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan. Rogan.
Brokeback Mountain was the funniest movie I have ever seen in my entire life. That doesn't make me a bad person. I'm sorry. You're wrong. They were outside. It was broad daylight. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. They grabbed each other. They went to kiss. And I just went, no, that can't happen.
What Ultimate Fighting is, it's the actual sport of fighting. It encompasses all aspects of fighting. Ground game. Kicking. Punching. Elbows. Submissions.
We're about to watch the Two Girls, One Cup video.
I can't watch that.
Where are those girls?
We have to find them.
Seth Petruzzelli is fighting Kimbo Slice. This is a last-minute replacement. I gotta think Seth Petruzzelli's gonna f*** him up. If I'm wrong, you'll never see this.
Oh, yes. What'd I say?
UFC commentator and all-round personality, Joe Rogan.
When I saw your tweets about the barbecue, I thought, that's it. We've lost Rogan. He's never leaving Memphis. We probably will never get him back.
It was pretty good food.
Yeah.
Good
eating,
right?
Good
eating.
They know how to throw down some pig.
Joe, of course, you know? Was in Memphis for UFC 107. How was your time there, dude?
It was fun. Memphis is a cool town. It was fun.
Fist is a cool town.
Really?
Is what he just said.
Fist?
Memphis? Memphis? Fist?
Fist.
Is that how they say it?
Most people go with mem. I don't know. I'm going to shorten it. I don't know.
What'd you think of the night? What'd you think of the way it turned out?
Well, the main event was pretty spectacular, you know, in a one-sided sense.
Yes.
You know, BJ Penn.
That's not what you want, though.
Well, I mean, what do you want? I mean, it is what it is. It's amazing when a guy that can be that good, that he can dominate someone as dangerous as Sanchez. Sanchez is a wild dude. And,
by the way, cartoon wild.
Yeah.
Though, I mean,
yeah.
Out of his mind,
yeah.
Like making like funny, it was almost like funny faces. He's trying to look so mean and
well,
stuff. But I heard you at one point go, but it's real.
Yeah, he really is that guy. I mean, he's a super, super intense dude who's like into Tony Robbins and into all this, you know, positive, put yourself in the you know, the most powerful state possible. And, you know, he comes out screaming, yes, yes. And
over and over, yeah.
Yeah, but his physical attributes, though, just don't match up. BJ is just, and BJ's so strong. I mean, you can believe in yourself all you want, but that's the crazy thing about fighting. It's not like anything else. Like, you might be able to believe that you can get to the top of the ladder in the corporate world, and you can navigate the waters, and you can get there. But you can believe all you want in fighting, but there's a, if a guy's physically talented, and he works really hard, they're so hard to beat.
BJ Penn was, I seems like I would have had as good a shot. I mean, not to say that I'm as good as Sam, but I mean, he
was like the Ravens beating the Lions this week.
He barely got touched. He could easily move and block, and just it wasn't even.
Well, he's so good, and now he's got this crazy strength and conditioning program, so he's in incredible shape. Like, for the first time ever in his career, like the last two fights, he's gone with this world-class guy named Marv Marinovich, who's like apparently the father of some football player, and he has these really controversial methods, and BJ swears by him. And
we talked to Dana White last week, and he said the same thing. He said the guy has never worked out harder and never been in better shape than he is this weekend.
Yeah, apparently this dude who works him out, he works out you out from your nervous system.
What do you know about that?
Balance.
It's neural training, and it's unbelievable.
How do you work out your nervous system?
Explain what that means.
Well, he does a lot of like off-balance training and training out of positions that are completely unorthodox to, like Joe's alluding to, he trains from the inside out. He trains his lymphatic system, his neural system, to help be more prepared for any situation, as opposed to just conditioning his muscles to fight. He's completely retuning his entire hormonal system and his brain to better deal with any physical situation.
It's pretty nutty.
Yeah. Sanchez kept trying to take him down, He grabbed one leg, tried to take him down 100 times.
Do you know there's only one guy who's ever taken him down at 155? Ever?
George St. Pierre.
I think it was Kyle Uno. I think only one guy. It was either Kyle Uno. I'm pretty sure it was Kyle Uno. It might have been Gomi, but I think it was Uno.
But since it was a fight for the belt, I mean, there were five rounds, and I kept thinking, he's got to have something else because he keeps trying the same thing.
You got to think of how good BJ is. Think of what I just said.
BJ's
no one's taking him down.
Right.
No one's taking him down ever at 155 except one dude.
But don't you get disappointed like halfway through the second round when you go, okay, I've tried this 10 times.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Oh, yeah. But what are you going to do? He's a warrior. He's got five rounds. I mean, his whole life has been dedicated to this moment. He's, you know, watched what he's eaten. He's done yoga. He gets in a sensory depth tank. He does the whole deal. He does everything.
Oh, he's your boy then.
I know that, dude. I told him about the depth tank. You know, I've told him a couple. Kenny Florian does it, too. A couple guys are doing it now.
This is the voice of Joe Rogan, by the way, and we will talk about the New Year's Eve bash at the Hollywood Improv coming up in a few minutes. I have to ask you this. There are so many colorful personalities in UFC, and this is something else we were talking to Dana White about. There are so many stars in that sport now. Is there any through line to the guys who fight? Anything similar about them?
Oh.
What do you make of the kind of guy who becomes a top UFC fighter? Where's he coming from?
They all have incredible work ethic. That's the number one thing. There's no way you can get to the very top of the heap without just insane work ethic. And most of them are really nice guys. That's the weird thing.
Like, are they doing it for the money or for the pride or what?
They're doing it because they just want the most extreme challenge possible. They gravitate towards the most ridiculous thing, the domination of other men inside a cage for a living.
But
there's
just
something insane about that.
Most sports, football, everything else, they train, but they play. Then they train, then they play, then they train, then they play. This is just like 6 months of nothing but training.
Yeah, a lot of guys will do that. Like George St. Pierre sometimes will take a long time off in between fights and just train his techniques. Go to Brazil and train in Brazil. You know, go to Thailand. They go all over the world and just train. It's an incredibly encompassing sport.
Do they also go out? Are these the same guys who will go out and base jump and mountain climb and do all sorts of other extreme stuff?
Some of them, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, some of them definitely, and some of them just want to fight. Some of them have just always wanted to be. They've just always been really aggressive, and you know they've done other sports like football, but they just didn't feel like it was aggressive enough.
Not aggressive enough,
you know, which is really scary to think about. Yeah. But that's true. It's like they want more. But the most common theme with these guys is how nice they are, and
that's bizarre.
Well,
we've
run into that. Yeah,
yes,
it's because they get it out. I think men have a certain amount of chimp DNA that we need to flush out of our system in order to just fit in and just be friendly and not yell in traffic. And it's all related.
Talk about Frank Mir, because there was a lot of talking before that fight. A lot of talking. And Frank Mir did most of it. And in Congo, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make him eat his words, blah, 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 blah. And he got destroyed.
Yeah. You know what? Frank Mir is another one of those dudes that's incredibly talented. And it's just recently that he's decided to work as hard, you know, as like the really top-notch guys, the BJs, the George St. Pierre's, and the dividends. I mean, the results are incredible. I mean, first of all, he gained like 20 pounds of muscle. He looks huge. His boxing, all of a sudden, he's knocking people out standing. And if he gets anybody on the ground and grabs a hold of any submission, you're done. He submitted Roberto Treven when he was a purple belt. Roberto Treven is like a multiple-time world champion, and he got him in an arm bar and broke his arm. I mean, he'll go for things.
Man.
He's a wild man. He's just one of those dudes that had so much success so early, and now he's focused, and now he's like really disciplined, and it's, you know, it's the only way to do it.
Do you think Frank Mir got that awakening from fighting Brock Lesnar and realizing that there's a different level of physical strength and size that you need to get to in order to be at that level?
I think that's definitely it. And then the challenge of fighting Nogueira, you know, Nogueira, especially for like his era, Frank Mir's era, he's a giant legend. I mean, that's the guy that beat Bob Sapp in Japan when Bob Sapp was 375 pounds. And if you've ever seen that fight, if you can go on YouTube, I don't know if it's on YouTube, it's the most insane mixed martial arts fight ever. There's one guy who's 220 pounds, and there's another guy who's 375.
Wow.
Him. And he's a football player, and he's so big. It's just insane. There's no fat. He's got abs, and he's just throwing this guy around like a gorilla. It's insanity.
But Khloe Kardashian could take him, right?
She's a badass bitch.
She's maybe the only one big enough to take him.
Is Guido, is that the guy that looks like the mountain man?
Yes, Clay Guida is the crazy dude with crazy hair.
Have you seen more blood?
That was a pretty blood one, and especially because of the hair, like it gets in the hair.
It gets in his hair.
Everywhere.
There's blood all over the ring,
all
and then he's got like a 14-inch gash on his forehead.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
Kenny's elbows were covered in blood. Well, Kenny Florian is known for cutting people,
dude.
You know, I mean,
that's what you want to be known for.
it's part of the sport. It's really scary, but it's part of the sport. His elbows are deadly. He's really good at it.
We have to take a break. Our friend Joe Rogan is here. By the way, UFC 108. Not going to have to wait too long for that. That's coming up in Las Vegas, January 2nd.
I know.
It's almost
right
here already.
It's nutty how many of them we're doing.
And if you're making New Year's Eve plans, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
He will fight you at the Improv.
Yeah,
I don't know the Improv. He will fight you. I'm telling you, that's what I heard. Tickets are on sale.
Don't say that because somebody out there that'll come. I want to fight, bro.
We'll take a break and return more with Joe Rogan after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We're dragging quite a bit today thanks to the acoustic Christmas shows over the weekend. We'll tell you more about that later on. Our friend Joe Rogan is here playing the Hollywood Improv New Year's Eve. Have you worked every New Year's Eve as long as you can remember?
No. I've taken a few off. I took them off for a while because I thought people were just extra douchey on New Year's.
It's just the people who don't normally go out and party that feel like they have to, and then they drink hard, and then it's just all.
It's almost like the whole the Vegas thing. It's like you feel like you have to be extra crazy because you're in Vegas.
Right.
Like, hey, you got to be extra loud and extra drunk, and that's the New Year's.
How
thing.
Do you get extra loud?
I don't know, man. That's why I have a request. Next time I come here, can you please not play that thing where I'm talking and then I'm sitting here because I feel like such a douchebag.
You're not. You're not a douchebag.
That's I know, but it just sounds gross.
We're trying to give you a big intro, dude.
Yeah,
that's
I
all.
Believe, I trust you.
We're going to extend it.
Joe,
I
think it'll
be good for you.
Shut my mouth.
It'll be good for you. We'll extend it.
Joe is at the Hollywood Improv, improv.com to get tickets. What are you watching on TV these days? Have you checked out the Steven Seagal show?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
He's a lawman.
You better hurry.
I got to set my DVR. I'm afraid I'm going to become addicted to it.
He is a dumb, dumb man that really loves himself.
Well, there's a lot of those out here, right? This is Land of the Free, home of the brave.
Right.
Our west side.
But having said that, he's in a category all his own.
Yeah, isn't it beautiful, though, when you see someone like
love
that?
It.
It's
love
like,
it.
It's like they're really theater. It's like real
yes.
theater.
Love it.
Did you ever have a ponytail, Joe?
No, I did not.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
No, I did not.
How about...
Not that you'll admit to?
Because
I would wear... Look, if I had long hair, you know, I could probably wear it in a ponytail.
Remember when Joe was bringing back the fanny pack?
Yes. I still do. I wear that to the airport.
He's still proudly rocking the fanny pack.
I rock that all around the country. The key is you have to not trying to be getting laid at all.
Right.
Right.
You have to no desire
once you're married,
to get laid.
You can wear the fanny pack.
Yeah, once you're married, you're like, what? What, you don't like that? You don't like the way this leather bag over my crotch looks?
Oh, well.
What's your problem?
It's kind of anti-lady.
It's very manly because you have two hands free.
Oh, there you go.
Somebody wants to wrestle, you're right there.
That's
what?
Good.
That doesn't make it manly.
Two hands free. See, I'm not carrying all my junk in my hands like a retard.
That's a good point.
I've got it attached to my body to make it easier to move around.
Nobody's going to be able to take Joe Rogan down.
Yeah, people. Man.
Yeah.
What
if
about,
you got a sprawl, you got two hands.
What about Jersey Shore?
What? Oh, my God. I've watched a lot of those tapes, not just that. But there's a bunch of YouTube clips of some place. There's this one place down the shore where they videotape each other dancing.
Oh,
I forget what it's like.
Good.
I think it's called like Nautilus or something like that. It's some seashore type name. Mm-hmm. You know what it is?
So tell me you've seen the clip of the guys driving there and they set up the cam on the dashboard of their car.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
Oh, is that
it's genius?
That's genius.
Those are my relatives.
Do you think that you?
I was born in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh,
wow. That's right. Like for sure. I'm somehow or another connected to some of those.
Why don't you have that super annoying accent?
I bailed. I got
oh,
out.
You're so smart.
I came to when I was a little kid. When I was 7, my family moved to San Francisco and we lived there. And then we lived in Florida when I was 11 till I was 13. Then we moved to Boston. So I really never grew
you
up.
You don't even
in
have the
New
Boston
Jersey.
Accent. That's good.
I got rid of that when I heard it. I heard it myself on TV. I did this. I did when I was fighting in Taekwondo tournaments. I did this local television thing. They interviewed me, and I listened to myself on television. I'm like, I'm retarded. I was like, listen to me.
I'm
listen
not going to say that anymore. Like. It's a terrible accent.
It's horrible. So I
The Guidos and Guidettes, do they understand the rest of the country is making fun of them and thinks they're a joke, or do they think they're really cool and bringing it?
They like that. They like what they're seeing.
The Bon Jovi
like,
80s
yeah,
hair and
they
everything,
like
they still are into that.
So they see themselves on TV, they're going, oh my God, that's us! It's like, then they're not, you know, they're not being upset by it.
These girls take an hour and a half to get ready to walk out the door.
And
it's fascinating.
And then that's what they look
and
like.
And then that's what they look like.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
And
an hour and a half
right
for that.
Them.
Yes. It's very unfortunate we can't look at this like from a scientist standpoint. You know, like step back and go, why is it that certain parts of the country are behaved this way? And yeah, there's no evolution whatsoever.
None.
I mean, you could just shove them into the 50s and they'd be fine.
Yeah.
They
That's
don't need
true.
The internet. They just bang right back in there.
Look, lots of cities have a type. I mean, there's certainly a segment of people in Southern California that are douchey for completely different reasons.
Right.
The city where I live, Seattle, a lot of people get made fun of for being the earthy, crunchy granola kind of wearing. I mean, there's people there to make fun of too. Everybody's got a type. Nothing is more annoying than the New Jersey type, though.
That's true.
Yeah, as long as you have to interact with them. But if you don't, if you just get to watch them, that's awesome.
That
as long as you don't accidentally wander into their part of the jungle, you know, and your car breaks down in New Jersey, then you have to deal with them.
If you can be on the other side of
but if you watch them from the outside, it's fascinating.
One more question
right?
for Joe before we have to take a break, and that is, you got no conspiracy for us today?
Nothing, the man is hiding something, but you know the truth?
Nothing?
Well, there's a lot.
ClimateGate? Are you into ClimateGate at all?
You know, I look at that and I say that there's obviously a bunch of big oil companies that are spending crazy money to fight this. And what's the best way to fight this? The best way to fight this is to go to scientists and give them millions of dollars to come to the conclusions that you would like to hear.
Right.
And then you hear that that's been done and that it's been proven.
Right.
That these oil companies have spent millions. So then you've got to think it's real. So I don't know whether or not global warming is man-made, but I do know that it's cold as hell lately.
Right.
And I was living in Boulder, Colorado, and it was – you know, like 15 degrees in September.
There are changes.
Yeah, well, it's hard to argue that there aren't changes always throughout the history of the world. So I don't know. I don't understand it enough.
I
think it's pretty complex.
I had a guy email me from Denver and said it was 6 below, and I'm like, That's God telling you don't live there.
That's not a good move.
A bad place to live.
My dog got eaten by a mountain lion.
Never thought I'd hear that sentence.
I never would have come back.
Joe, stick around. Ralph will be here with the Showbiz Beat. Help us out. We'll come back right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe Rogan is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was just tweeting about how disappointed he is that Lisa's wearing a big fisherman sweater today.
Well, that's your fault.
He can't even look down her top while he's here visiting, which is just unacceptable, as far as I'm concerned. And Ralph Garman joins us also with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. Hey, Ralph.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office that we do every Monday morning from Daily Variety. The Princess and the Frog, $25 million in its debut. A lot of kids going to see the movies.
You in that one, Joe?
Weekend.
You in The Princess and the Frog?
No, I didn't get that good.
Okay.
The Blind Side. You in that one?
Yeah, he was the...
Oh, are we going to go through all of them?
I didn't get that good.
Joe was the black football player.
I just did a movie for the first time, like, ever. I did.
What? Mumbles?
What?
You hear about your movie.
What's your movie?
It doesn't come out for a year, so...
All right. Then don't bring it up.
Yeah, I'll bring it up when it comes out. Invictus, the rugby movie, made...
That looks awesome.
$9 million this weekend.
Plus it's Clint Eastwood.
Made it number three. The Twilight Saga New Moon, fourth.
That looks awesome, too.
He lied.
If you're a teenage girl. Disney, A Christmas Carol was fifth, and Brothers, 2012... Old Dogs, Armored, and Ninja Assassin running out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, it's a matter of time. Looks like some of Tiger's sponsors are getting a little nervous about his newly tarnished image.
Sure.
Gillette has said, as Tiger takes a break from the public eye, we will support that break and give him retirement from our commercials.
That's their support?
Yeah.
He's taking a break and so are they.
They're going to support his desire for privacy, they say, by limiting his role in their marketing.
What a way to say
That's
it.
That's a brilliant way of putting
That's
it.
That's very sweet of them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so
if he wants to disappear, we're going to help him disappear, basically, is what they're saying.
They're supportive.
That's I drove by
That's really creative,
a
though.
Billboard yesterday for Tiger Woods for the watch company that he sponsors. Is it Tag Heuer? Is that
Tag
right?
Heuer, yeah.
And Pure, right? And it says, what are you made of? That's the slogan. And I probably would not have even noticed that billboard a month ago, but now all of a sudden I remember the name of that watch.
That's true.
It's helping them.
I was listening this morning. They said Accenture dropped them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
If I knew what Accenture was, I would be disappointed.
Yeah. They are a global management and consulting company.
Okay.
They do a lot of advertising with Tiger around the world, not so much here in the States, but their statement was yesterday, after careful consideration and analysis, the company has determined that he is no longer the right representative for our advertising.
Interesting.
There's so much money in being a nice guy in that world.
Yeah,
you get caught doing something like this. Like,
you ever do any commercials, Joe?
No.
Because no one asked, or because you don't
nobody
want to.
Nobody really cares about me.
Okay,
I'm not really. All right.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm not like the kind of guy you want advertising your stuff.
Yeah, you're not a spokesman either.
I'm always amazed that the UFC lets me talk. You know,
apparently because people in management and consulting rarely get laid, they no longer can relate to Tiger Woods. It's a problem with Accenture.
Wait, he's with a girl? What?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
That's creepy.
Start digging into their personal life.
He's got cooties. Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthday, shall we? Cliff Williams, bassist for AC/DC, is 60 years old today. Porn star Ginger Lynn.
There you go.
Mutual friend of both Joe and myself. She is 47 years old today.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
And Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical. Were you in that one? Were you in High School Musical?
He was, actually.
You were one of those.
Right? I didn't get that good.
Get that good? She is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Sure wish we could have put that conversation on the air.
I know.
I've learned a lot this morning.
No can do. It's the world famous K-Rock at 4 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we need a way to have that conversation.
You guys
how?
Need a little YouTube thing so we can put YouTube videos on in between.
Yeah, that hurts us.
Joe Rogan is here. By the way,
he gets you in trouble?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh,
we may have time for some weak. Phone calls for Joe if you have questions for him and his very wide and varied interests. 1-800-520-1067. Mr. Rogan is going to be at the Hollywood Improv for New Year's Eve, which this year falls on December 31st.
Oh.
That's at the Hollywood Improv, improv.com, or call 323-651-2583. Joe was enlightening us during the song there about bisexuality.
Not really.
A little
it's
bit.
Just jokes.
Just jokes,
ladies and gentlemen.
Jokes that you don't want to repeat? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No. It's a bit from one of my old CDs where I said that I don't really believe that much in bisexual dudes. I met gay guys, and they're clearly gay. But I think that most bisexual dudes I've ever met have been really dumb.
So my theory was that I don't think there really are bisexual dudes. I think there's two types of dudes who do gay stuff. There's gay dudes, and then there's really crafty or really dumb. I screwed it up.
Yeah.
So I don't do the bit anymore. I forgot the bit.
They're really dumb.
There's two types of dudes who do gay stuff. Gay dudes.
Hang on one second.
No, you can't.
A year ago, maybe.
Now it's over.
Yeah.
Okay. Way to go, B. Way to set this up.
It was, we get talked into doing things.
Yeah, it
things
was funny that straight guys don't do.
And that's what it is. Just guys who don't have any friends.
Joe, what about
Tiger Woods?
Poor man.
How dumb? While we're talking about dumb, how not dumb gay. Was he to make many of the choices that he made in the way that he did?
Yeah, well, he's clearly like a very, very, very motivated dude. He's crazed to get really good at golf.
He is.
Right? Yeah. That's why he's so good. And I have a theory about that. I think that people who have real, real excellence like that, I think there's some madness to it. You know, I think you can be crazy. I think that the people that really can achieve like the highest of heights, if you look like musicians, you look like Michael Jackson, you look like certain athletes, you look like certain artists, like to achieve that really high frequency, they almost have to be just off the charts nuts. And I think that's compulsion true. Can apply to anything. It can go to gambling, or it can go to infidelity, or it could go to masturbation and pornography.
It's a laser focus that other people just can't achieve.
I can get really addicted to things, like games. Like I used to play like video games. Like I played Quake 8 hours a day. I would play online. It was obsessive. And my girlfriend would go crazy and get mad at me because I would go to bed at like 6 o'clock in the morning and I'd be sleeping all afternoon because I played Quake all night. Like, but it's you can get.
And do you
really
not play
obsessive.
Video games anymore?
No, I try to manage.
They're a lot
my
better
mind.
Now. They're a lot better.
They're
now.
Too good.
Yeah, you should check them out.
No, I tried Gears of War and I was like, I could lose my life in this. It would disappear. Vanish. Because the thing about Quake is you can play people online. So there's this crazy competitive aspect to it. And it's this really beautifully, you know, rendered 3D game with lightning bolts and rocket launchers and incredible 3D sounds. It's so exciting.
That's the world you want to live in.
Locked into it. There's a lot of people that do, like, especially those role-playing games.
Yeah, oh, I know.
There was a dude that used to be one of the managers at the Comedy Store that was, like, he would play it 10 hours a day, every day. He would live in this world. He did have a life, and that was the problem. His whole life was falling apart. His girlfriend had left him. He didn't have any money. He lost his job. It got really crazy, and he was like, I don't get it. He's like, I'm so good at making money in my fake world. But in the real world, I'm so bad at it.
Yeah.
Like, we had a conversation
about it. It's the way it is with online gambling, too. You go, well, I'm great. And then you go to a casino, and you just get destroyed.
Really? So it's easier to gamble online?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can win more. Yeah.
Oh,
seems like it.
In what way? With, like,
I don't know.
Sports?
You play poker or whatever. Yeah, you play poker. And it seems like, hey, man, I'm kicking ass. I'll go to Vegas and then, you know, you don't kick ass.
I see. I don't know how to play poker, and I'm scared to get involved in it for the same reasons why I used to be addicted to pool and this Quake thing. But when I look at that, I say, if it's online, then how are dudes not making computer programs and having bots play? Like, they must be, right? Is that a problem?
Yeah, no, I would think so, yeah. And there have also been a lot of stories, like I saw one on 60 Minutes, where there are many people who can see everyone's hand. They figured out a way to cheat, and they built people out of billions.
I'm sure. It makes sense. And just in Quake alone, there was bots. They would create these little programs, and they would run it through the actual game itself. And it was like an impossible to destroy dude who could just kill you in 3 seconds every time he saw you. It was crazy. And they would run around the map. Like, say there'd be like 50 people in this one game playing. It's all just a melee. Everybody's trying to kill as many people as you can. That's what it is.
You should get Modern Warfare too. Get that one.
I can't do it. I manage it now. I don't allow myself to get crazy.
Do it.
Kevin is an enabler.
He is. He's not an enabler. He's a goddamn pusher. Look at him. He's getting sweaty here. He's getting sweaty palms. He's a little too into this.
All right, let's take some calls.
Okay, please. Let's do it.
Let's start with Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Joe.
Hey, dude. What's going on?
I was calling to ask him if the sport of the UFC, if he thinks it might change to get to be like boxing. Or as with a little more time, where they just kind of fight for points more than actually to get in there and fight and put a show on?
Well, you know, the UFC has always rewarded people that fight to win, you know, and fight. I mean, like, if you look at, like, the people that the UFC, like, really cherishes, like, you know, Chuck Liddell and guys who just really put on fights, like, always. They're the reason why dudes love them is so they're, because they're so aggressive. Like, that's what you're paying to see. You're paying to see a guy trying to win.
Right.
And just trying to win on points, you know, I mean, it's an effective way to stay healthy, you know? I mean, really, it's interesting to watch when a guy doesn't take any damage, even if he can control the guy and not take any damage and not even do too much damage to the guy. It's still, he did control that dude. There's a certain aspect to me that appreciates the skill involved in what he does, but it's not as exciting as watching, like, Wanderlei Silva fight.
You guys were talking about BJ Penn and how he was so far ahead in that fight, but frustrated that he couldn't end it before the judge.
It wasn't the correct thing to do. The correct thing to do was to fight the way he was fighting, and to rush it, like he kind of rushed it in the last round because he just got frustrated. He wanted to take him out, and he knew he could any time.
Right.
But he's right, because that's why he didn't take any damage. He didn't take any damage because he fought perfect. Like, every time Diego was aggressive, he was out of there.
Right.
And when he wanted to impose his will, he was there. And that's the correct way to do it. It's just, Diego's so tough. He took so many shots that it took a while to break him down. And, like, his corner was saying, take him out of there, take him out of there. But he knows exactly when to try to take a guy out. And he did
It's interesting
right
to see how much, how mental the fight is, in addition to just physical. I mean, you got to have a strategy.
Well, you don't just have to have a strategy. You have to have this indomitable will. You know, and that's what BJ Penn has. Yeah, patience. And the ability to really deal with the pressure, which he has a significant advantage in that he's faced that kind of pressure so many times. First of all, he fought Lyoto Machida at heavyweight,
right,
which is insanity. And BJ's like 5'9 or something like that. He walks around at 165 pounds. He ballooned up to like 190, and he fought Lyoto Machida and lost a close decision. You know, he's fought Matt Hughes, who's an incredibly powerful guy. You know, he's fought George St. Pierre, who's a, you know, big, strong, super athlete. He's fought some tough, tough guys. So because of that, he's so used to performing under the extreme pressure of, like, the most intense combat with the best athletes in the world. So he's just tuned into it.
Can you
know?
Talk to GSP about wearing looser shorts? Honestly. Can you just
do you want looser shorts?
Yeah, well, for him, yeah. It's
does it make
tight.
You uncomfortable?
I'm a little turned on.
Yeah. Well, the thing with GSP is he goes old school with, like, little skippy shorts because there's less traction.
Yeah, well.
GSP wants to stay on top of you and be slippery. He doesn't want you catching him in the guard or anything.
He
like,
does no, that. No,
that's it. That's how he passes your guard. That's how he puts beating downs.
Yeah. Let's go to David. Hi, David.
Gotta be slippery. It seems a little gay, but that's what it is.
Hey, David.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, I wanted to what his take if there's anybody that could take out Penn in 155 right now.
I think BJ Penn is the greatest lightweight champion ever. And I've said this a bunch of times. I think he's the rare special athlete that not only has incredible physical gifts, like very unusual dexterity in his legs. He can, like, put his foot behind his ear without even touching his hand. He's got, like, incredible dexterity and incredible flexibility, and he's super smart. And now he works like a real professional athlete. I don't think
no way.
He's a freak. I mean,
Until he gets old or injured or something.
I mean, unless some new guy comes up. You know, there's a guy named Jose Aldo. He's a guy who fights in the WEC who's incredible. He's not as tested as Penn, but he just fought Mike Brown, who was the champion, and destroyed him inside a minute and a half. I mean, he's an incredible athlete. He's about the same size, too. He's like, walks around at like 170 and, you know, cuts down to 145. But BJ is like 166 when he's in shape, and he cuts down to 155. So BJ is actually technically smaller.
Let's go to Jose. Hi, Jose.
Is it Jose Aldo? I'm sorry, what did I say?
No, hey, big fan.
Thank you, brother.
Quick, I heard about a Wesley Snipes fight between you and him. I'm wondering what's going on with that. And also, I live out in North Hollywood. Can you recommend any Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu schools out here?
Yeah, well, the Wesley Snipes thing was somebody had proposed it, and the guys who were the original producers of the UFC, like when I worked for them back in like 1997, and I guess he needed money for taxes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I only said yes because I was pretty sure that I was going to strangle him.
Oh,
I was
totally,
pretty sure
totally,
I was just going to totally, grab a hold of him. I was like, I don't know how this guy's going to... He weighs like 160-something. I'm like, and he doesn't do jiu-jitsu at all?
Right.
And I'm like, I think I'm going to get you, dude. That was the only reason why I was willing to do it. Like, anybody who really knows how to fight, I have no desire to go be fighting dudes who know how to fight. No thanks.
Yeah.
It's like...
Don't need that in your life right now?
I don't need brain damage.
Yeah.
That's scary to me, you know? I'm not that good. I don't want to get my ass kicked.
And finally, let's go to Steve on something that I know Joe is passionate about. Hey, Steve.
Jihad, my friend.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up?
Hi.
Hey, Joe. I know, a big fan of yours, first of all.
You're a great guy, and
thank you, man.
Your personality is totally rocking. But second of all, I live in the Long Beach area, and I know the whole struggle with the 215, the Prop 215 thing has been an issue with you. And I just kind of see where you stand with it now, and being in L.A. and the fight.
Well, you know, you're using code for people who don't know the law.
Yeah.
Prop 215 is, it's medical marijuana. That's what it is. I mean, you can say it on CNN now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You still can't say it in court. Did you know that?
What?
If you get busted, especially federally, if you get put up on federal charges for selling marijuana, even if it's medical marijuana that you grew under state law, once you go to court, you have to say you were selling marijuana. You cannot say medical marijuana. You cannot say state law. You cannot even bring it up.
But isn't that your defense?
It's yes. They literally, yeah. And then you want to talk about how corrupt our legal system is?
Wow.
Because they've been so heavily influenced by pharmaceutical companies and by private prisons and by people that want to put people in jail for crimes like marijuana.
You must have been thrilled by Obama coming out saying we're not going to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I like about him.
Has
it hasn't?
Well, no,
City Council's been trying.
The DA. Yeah.
It's so corrupt and so crazy that they would try to stop marijuana. It is a legal thing. It's California state law. And state law is supposed to always be, you know, what's governed in a particular area. I mean, that's how our set of government is set up.
But then the federal government comes in and goes, sorry, don't care.
Well, the most ridiculous thing about it is, like, why are you doing this? Why are you spending all this money? It doesn't make any sense. We know how many people are poor and need food and need clothing and need help. Why are there billions and billions of dollars allocated to stopping something that's never killed anybody ever? And it's just a clear sign of corruption.
And could get a ton of dough if they taxed it or whatever.
Right. But the people that are in the position of power are put in there by special interest groups and by people that donate to their campaigns. And once they get in there, they toe the line. They all do.
More importantly, it's easier for Joe to make people laugh at his shows if they're all stoned.
He doesn't have to work as hard as the audience is stoned.
Yeah, for sure.
Same with our show.
Listen, if you have a boring job, why would you not show up stoned? As long as they don't pee test you.
Good advice for the kids listening today,
Joe. For the kids listening, man. If you're delivering newspapers, blaze it up, son.
Hollywood.
If
you go to grade school and go to second grade, man, come on. It's tough to get through the day.
If you just got to, like, pack boxes of newspapers somewhere, get high as a kite, my friend.
New Year's Eve, Hollywood Improv, improv.com,
323-651-2583. Become an adventure.
21 and up, please, for the Joe Rogan New Year's Eve show. And don't forget, just after that, UFC 108, Evans versus Silva, is going to be January 2nd. That's on pay-per-view at the MGM Grand.
That's a sick card, too.
Should be a lot of fun.
There's a dude under that named Paul Daly. Paul Daly's fighting Dustin Haslund. Dustin Haslund is this crazy jiu-jitsu guy, like one of the best in the UFC. And this guy, Paul Daly, is a destroyer. This crazy dude from England is like super athlete. He's like one of the best strikers in all of MMA ever.
Wow, he's
a Terminator.
Yeah,
it's a crazy fight. This dude is such an athlete, and Dustin Haslett is such a badass jiu-jitsu guy. I mean, this is going to be World War III.
How does the UFC continue to put on such compelling fights?
I mean, there's so many good fighters out there.
There was in boxing too, but
UFC is one organization. With boxing, you're dealing with so many different promoters.
Yeah.
And they all have their own interests, and HBO has this. You know, it's like there's so many different people. And the UFC, I mean, the beautiful thing about a monopoly is in the UFC, we have all the best guys. There's only a few guys in other organizations. There's like Fedor, of course, who's like the big heavyweight guy that we tried to get, but we couldn't get him. And, you know, there's Jake Shields and Mayhem Miller. There's a few guys in other organizations that are badass. But for the most part, they're guys who fought in the UFC and weren't at the same level as the very, very elite guys.
Right.
You know, but this sport is just exploding. There's so many good fighters.
Yeah.
There's an impossible number of matchups, and there's always new guys coming into the mix.
They're going to get so big and so popular, they're going to have to replace you and get a real guy.
They're going to have to get somebody who knows what they're doing.
I mean, seriously, that's the point we're getting at now.
I can't believe they're still doing it. Whenever I do it, like, you know, there's one time I said rape choke on the air accidentally because this guy grabbed a guy, and you got him in the rape choke. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to get fired. Like, I thought, but nobody said anything to me.
Well, who just brought it up again in case somebody out there didn't hear
it. No, I talk about it in my act.
Who was the guy in the ring this past night? This is the last question. Who said, any more questions, Joe?
Oh, that was BJ.
BJ.
Well, because he always does this. Whenever I have to interview him, he always wants to just plug his website. I got one thing to say.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to me, go to bjpenn.com.
And then he grabs the mic from you, and you're
bails.
Like,
oh, I'm not going to take it back.
Oh, man, I was so honored to be there. That was such a brilliant performance.
Yeah.
You know, that guy's, like I said, you know, I appreciate when dudes do what is really, really, really hard to do. And what he has done is fulfill potential.
And like, make everyone else look kind of foolish along the way.
Yeah, he's in this weird, I mean, Roy Jones Jr. when he was in his prime class. You remember those fights?
Oh, yeah.
Where you would watch him and just Roy Jones Jr. would just like, it was like he was fighting from the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's how my friend describes Anderson Silva. My friend Brian always says, watching that guy's like, he's fighting in the Matrix. That's like Roy Jones Jr. when he was in his prime, too. It's like
everybody else is slow-mo.
They're just on a different frequency.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Rogan, we are out of time. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Have a great time New Year's Eve at the Improv.
You guys as well. Thanks for having me on.
We'll see you soon.
Always a good time.
Bye-bye. Thank you, man. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, just a couple short weeks from Christmas. And listen to this email, you guys. Tell me if you can relate. Tell me if you sympathize.
Okay.
Kristen writes into The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, guys, I heard you said this was going to be a topic. I won't be able to call in when you do it, but man, do I hate Christmas. My mom is severely bipolar. She demands that I spend every Christmas with her, and if I don't, it makes her go into full crazy mode, calling me 6 times a day to badger me about it, showing up at my house at all hours until I eventually give in.
Oh, man.
This wouldn't be so awful, except for the fact that I also have a fiancé that I've been with for several years, so it becomes a huge issue, as I either end up spending Christmas alone with my crazy mom, or he gets dragged along, and we don't ever get a chance to go see his family, and that makes for hurt feelings. When I do go with my mom, it's uncomfortable because she says racist and inappropriate things at dinner. Her whole side of the family is also extremely Christian. I'm an atheist. They make us sing happy birthday to Jesus at the table.
Yes.
Aww. Guys, I seriously consider crashing my car on the way home every year on the 23rd just so I could avoid this holiday. No matter how hard I try to enjoy Christmas, I always end up in bed by the end of the day crying.
Aww. Nice.
Say hi to Callie for me, Kristen. So that's what we're talking about is people who go against the grain. They're not the most people who go, hey, Christmas is awesome. I love Christmas. I can't wait for Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. The people who just hate it and want it to be December 26th now.
Wasn't that the guy that robbed the Salvation Army? He was yelling, I hate Christmas!
Yes.
Yes.
He beat up the Salvation Army bell ringer because he hated Christmas.
Really?
I hate Christmas.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
And it's sad.
I know you're a bad person, but why do you hate Christmas?
I love Christmas music. I love Christmas trees. I love everything.
Well,
and I just
how
I hate.
Can you possibly hate Christmas?
Because Lisa and I had talked about this. My family. During Christmas time, it gets insane. 50, 60 people coming through my parents' home, and it's a big deal.
Right.
And I don't like it. And I love my family. I actually have a good relationship with all my family, even my extended family. I just hate the amount of effort that has to go into preparing for stuff like that. Plus, I also think Alex brought up something last week when I was talking about this. Since I've gotten sober, it's gotten a lot worse because I used to look back at the end of the year and really get depressed, but I could drink and do a lot of blow and everything would be okay.
Right.
I mean, and as the new year would arrive, I'd realize it's another year of my life gone by and I'm not really happy with myself. But that's okay if you can just bury yourself in drugs and alcohol.
Right.
And now that I can't do that, it just really, there's this underlying dysthymia and depression.
Well,
maybe you should escape that.
Consider doing that again.
Okay.
You know, go back to drinking and drugs.
Okay.
You are such a pusher
today.
No,
I'm just saying. I want him to be happy.
You're terrible for everyone.
I want him to be happy.
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
All right.
So, Kevin, you were saying earlier that you think, like the emailer, that family obligations and responsibilities and forced togetherness is probably a large reason why some people don't look forward to this time of year.
Yeah, well, if you have a dysfunctional family or you don't like the people in your family, in Mike's case, it's just he's kind of a private guy. He doesn't like being around a lot of people.
Honestly, 60 or 70 people descend upon your house.
I mean, I love my family.
And you've got to get everything ready.
I love my family. I look forward to seeing them everything, but that can go south. You have one uncle that drinks and touches. You know what I mean? I think it can go south quick.
Yeah, I definitely. Think for a lot of people, there's all the stuff that goes into all the obligations that you have for Christmas. Beyond seeing the family is all the gifts.
It's a stressful
time. Decorations, visiting. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that goes on that people just aren't prepared for. And people are so busy now and stretched so thin now that, I mean, they're thinking, oh, my God, I have whatever. I don't even know what the date is. But let's say you've got 9 shopping days till Christmas and you realize you've got a bunch of people you can't think of anything for. And you got a deadline looming. And it's like having homework.
That's when you just send out an email and go, got the flu. Sorry. I'll catch you next year.
Out this year.
All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You hate Christmas.
Hate it. Aww. Can't wait for it to be over. Call us now. We'll take your calls next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's supposed to be that magical, wonderful time of year, but we're just talking to Grinches right now. Or Scrooges. 1-800-520-1067. You hate the holiday season. You do not look forward to this time of year, and you've got your reasons. What are they? Let's go to the phones.
Let's start with Justin. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. What's up? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi, Justin.
Christmas season. You don't like it?
It's miserable.
What is that?
Ever since my parents got divorced, this was like 7 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
They
fight over you?
You got to go from one house to the other?
Well, it's that. When I was with my ex-girlfriend, I had four Christmases I went to because her parents were divorced as well.
Right.
No, the biggest problem is my mom is okay year-round, but as soon as Christmas comes around, she goes back to that happy little place that was her divorce.
Oh.
And I've been told to go to hell on Christmas.
Yes. All right.
I've been thrown out of my house.
There's
been thrown out of our house.
There's just too much emotion going on in your mom's head.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
She needs to go on vacation at Christmas. She needs to go someplace sunny.
She needs to,
or that.
She needs to join the Jews and go to the movies.
There you go. Really.
Yeah. It's
wide open. All right. Thank you, Justin.
You know, it's funny. We were talking earlier about people who go crazy. They party too hard because they have this feeling, hey, I'm in Las Vegas. I need to really blow it out. It's kind of like that at Christmas. I'm going to make today the happiest day ever because it's Christmas, and that's the way it's supposed to be, and you can't stop me.
Damn it.
And then it never is. All right. Let's go to Mikey. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, what's happening? I hate Christmas because for the past 32 years, everyone's always forgotten it.
Wow.
My birthday's on Christmas Eve, so I feel like leftover ham the next day.
Well, look.
My sister's birthday's on Christmas Day.
Really?
It is the same thing for her.
But don't
it
you get?
Sucks.
But don't you eventually go, all right, well, that's my lot in life.
Nope, I don't think you do.
You don't, like, next year it's going to be the same?
Because you always end up walking into one relative and you hear, oh, that's right, it is your birthday,
right? And then they grab the least Christmas present that they had and go, happy birthday.
Because they've already bought you a Christmas present, they're not going to then turn around and also buy you a birthday present.
No, they don't. They tell you it's for both, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I've actually got a gift card with no money on it once.
Nice! A gift card with no money.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like, love that. Here you go. Here's your gift card.
I have a new gift to give everyone.
Yep.
Here's a gift card. What's it worth? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know what happened. It was weird. I totally loaded it up.
It was like hundreds, thousands.
Thank you for the call. Todd emails us. He has two reasons why he hates Christmas. One, I hate Christmas music. It's absolutely nauseating and you can't get away from it.
By the way, that's the one part of Christmas that I do hate.
Go to the mall and hear that music for 2 hours, right?
Yeah, because it's the same old songs. There's 15 Christmas songs and they get done by 75 million different artists. Yeah.
Number two, Todd says, I hate the way people are this time of year. People that you don't give a crap about all year long, and honestly, they don't give a crap about you either all year long, but Christmas comes and all of a sudden you have to put on this fake S-eating grin and pretend that you really care about them.
Yeah.
So he just thinks that, too much fakery.
It's all family. Everybody's problem with Christmas is family. Angel, hi.
Hi.
Hate Christmas.
Damn right. For many reasons.
Okay.
For one, all holidays, me and my family fight. I don't know what about. It just happens. Everyone gets fights. Mm-hmm. One year, me and my dad actually traded blows for...
Nice.
Wow. I can open my eye for like... almost a week.
You got schooled by an old man?
His old man.
He's only 20 years older than me.
Does your family drink?
No, but...
Really?
All my extended family does drugs. My dad and my mom just got off of it.
Okay.
Everyone else did drugs, and that's a major problem.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this question. Do you guys ever see each other outside of a holiday?
Yeah, we all live together. It's just for... Like, we'll get along all year long, except for holidays. Holidays
isn't that interesting?
Like, wow, then everything goes south.
You could be the problem here.
I put this to a test, and I think I am, because I'm engaged, and I went with the last 2 years I've been with my girlfriend's family.
Mm-hmm.
No fights at my house. No, none whatsoever.
Interesting.
Well, I think you've answered your own question, Angel.
It's you, man.
Yeah.
Go Raiders.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 8:57.
That's a band called 311 right there on the Kevin and Bean Show, they went over huge last night at the Almost Acoustic Christmas Night number 2.
They were playing just before Muse, and Muse wasn't there yet. They had left Vegas late. And they were in the air, so they started doing that drum solo thing, 311, and then somebody kept going, stretch, stretch, they're not here yet. So it went on for like an hour. Stretch, we're done, we can't drum anymore. Keep drumming. Finally, Muse got there.
We have some highlights to tell you about from the event backstage and on stage coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin DeBean Show. And you're going to be able to call us just after the top of the hour. If you were there, you got something you want to share, 1-800-520-1067. Right now, though, another look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend, Ralph Garman.
What was up with Muse last night, cleaning the hallways out, clearing the hallways out so they could walk around? F them.
Did that happen?
They banished people from the backstage area, legitimate people who had credentials and stuff, because they wanted to be alone. F them.
I don't think that's what it was, dude. I think that they had just come in from the airport, and they were trying to get them out of their dressing room onto the stage, and they said, clear everybody else out, let's make this happen. I don't think it was them being...
Oh, because they didn't want people to stop and want to talk to Muse.
Right.
I heard they requested that the backstage area be cleansed.
I don't know. I didn't hear that, but...
All I know is Dr. Drew sitting there with his poor wife who's dying to go to the bathroom, and she can't go because Muse won't let anybody backstage.
No, I got thrown out, too, but... They're Muse. I don't care. That's a great band.
They're Muse. That's what I'm saying. F them.
No, turn into a hostage situation back there.
If it's worst case scenario, what you're saying is true, I'm fine with it because they're so good.
They don't get to sweep through like Nazi stormtroopers and clear out whatever area they want to walk around.
I'm saying they're good enough. Yes, they do.
No,
I don't think that's what happened.
Nobody's that good enough.
I don't think that's what happened. But
you didn't look them in the eye, though, Ralph, right?
Yeah, exactly. Did we make sure they had the right color M&Ms in their bowl?
They were great. They were great.
Them with giving my walkway.
They were the highlight of the whole weekend.
I know. They're still douchebags phenomenal. They had to clear the hallway.
But doesn't it make sense what Kevin is saying is that if the hallway were packed with people, everybody would want to stop and talk to Muse, and they didn't have that kind of time if they're trying to race them out to the stage.
Yeah, because no one would understand. We have to get on stage. Excuse me. Who would understand that?
Dude,
who could comprehend that?
311 had been drumming for an hour. They need to cut every second
that
they can.
All the time. No one's ever been molested and pinned against the wall and missed their stage
time. Don't be such a drama queen.
I'm being a drama queen. And I'm insisting. They're insisting that the backstage area be everyone be removed from there.
Okay, so
I'm the drama queen.
Yeah, because you wanted. I gotta stay right here.
No, I didn't care. I didn't want to go back there. But I felt bad for people who were wet in their pants. They couldn't use the bathroom because Muse needed to be left alone.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. F them. Promises. Attitudes.
They're
the rock
best.
Star attitudes.
They are my second favorite band of all time.
That's great. No, they're great. I didn't say they weren't great. I just said if they were demanding that the hallways be cleansed, they're douchebags.
I don't get to stay backstage.
I didn't want to go backstage.
Oh, right.
I thought it was wrong for them to demand that the area be cleansed.
I'm going
to
say I don't know for a fact. I don't think it was them. I think it was the management of our radio station and of everybody involved going, let's make this as fast as possible because they're late. It was a half hour wait the way it was.
The two were so evenly matched. I don't know how one of you is going to get the upper hand.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They should have taken a tram.
Did I win? I'm just saying.
You always win, Kevin.
I won.
You know that.
No, but I'm just saying.
The Princess and the Frog, number one at the box office this weekend, $25
million. What was that?
A Disney enthusiast.
Oh. A Disney enthusiast.
We are firing on all cylinders.
The Blind Side was number two at the box office. Invictus was third. Then The New Moon. Disney's A Christmas Carol. Brothers 2012. Old Dogs Armored. And Ninja Assassin rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Ralph, how's the Avatar going to do?
The Avatar is going to have a massive opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how good it is, we'll see from there. The problem is it's getting mixed reviews.
Is it really?
They're getting some very positive reviews and some other reviews saying it's a little empty.
Hmm. Okay.
But, look, they're certainly promoting the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Thing is, you're starting at a deficit of about $425 million, which is how much it has to make before it makes a profit. So,
wow.
You know?
Although, that's a realistic figure worldwide for this movie.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But how much profit will you make on a movie that cost you $425 million to get into theaters?
Good
all I'm saying. As opposed to something like a...
What was that? Paranormal Activity?
Paranormal Activity, exactly.
Yeah. I made that for like a dollar. So.
Ashley Greene is ticked off about being dumped by Kings of Leon bassist Jared Falwell.
Okay.
Apparently, he dumped her for Dancing with the Stars / country singer Julianne Hough.
So that's his life.
Well, that's a coin flip.
That's how he rolls.
Is that belt inside your ass?
What I don't know what's going on.
All right.
Damage.
This smoking hot chick or this smoking hot chick?
Yeah, that's good life right there.
And John Malkovich is a stud. He is filming a new movie with Josh Brolin called Jonah Hex, based on the popular Western comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And they were filming, and as you can imagine, an action comic book movie, there are some bumps and bruises go along with performing. Apparently, John walked up to Josh during one scene and asked him to please relocate his thumb. He had dislocated his thumb during the course of the scene and asked him if he could pull the thumb out and put it back into place.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
Calmly, just walked up to him through immense pain and just said, yeah, could you just...
pull my finger?
Put my thumb back in place, please. Dude. I need my thumb for this scene.
Yet he didn't clear the hall for people to
watch. No, he didn't say, clear the set because I dislocated my thumb.
He was fine with other people
around. I'm John Malkovich, don't you know who I am?
Oh, they didn't do that.
Well, Kevin...
They didn't do it.
Kevin came by in his helicopter and he was throwing gold coins. So he was probably allowed back there.
I got
Malibu
turned away.
Kevin
I got turned away. I didn't care. No one in the hall except for Malibu Kevin.
That's right. He's allowed. Today's celebrity birthday is Vanessa Hudgens. High School Musical is 21 years old today. Porn star Ginger Lynn celebrates her 47th birthday. And Cliff Williams of AC/DC, the bass player for that band for a long time, 60 years old today. He wasn't allowed backstage either.
That's what I understand.
AC/DC, yeah. Big band. Couldn't be sure. There. Yeah. Not Muse.
Not no. Big enough. Nope.
No. Please get the hallway cleared, please.
Don't look at me.
Don't walk on my linoleum. That's I want all the linoleum replaced before I walk to the stage.
That's not how it happened.
Because I'm Muse.
I heard they asked all the toilets backstage to be replaced with brand new ones. That's before right. They showed up.
Perrier in the water, in the bowls.
None of that's true. Zero.
I need to poop in sparkling water only, please.
That happened.
Because I'm Muse. Look at me.
Did you see?
No, don't look at me. Just feel me. Feel my museness.
Were you surprised to see poor 80-year-old Queen Elizabeth as the roadie? I mean, that just seemed disrespectful, I thought.
She is the queen for
something.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm going to go lay down now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If those guys owned a bar, I would go all the time. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 15 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Dear Kevin and Bean, the email begins, hey, you guys are the best. Really, the only show that continues to keep us entertained, even through the commercials, yet still gives us dead air after every song. This is radio at its best. Sincerely, Chris, P.S. Say hi to Kevin.
Look, well, thank you. We were up late.
I know.
And it was stuff happens.
It's tough. It was a tough weekend, but in a good way, because this weekend was the annual, I was going to say the annual 2009 Almost Acoustic Christmas, but that doesn't work. So Saturday and Sunday night, two big nights at Gibson Amphitheater with lots of great music and stuff you haven't heard about that happened backstage that we can't wait to tell you about.
Do we? Can we tell the last story we were just talking about? Or are we getting in trouble for
which
that?
Which one?
The one with the one with Rodney.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you can tell
that story.
Yeah,
because I didn't even know that it actually happened.
So this dude, I pay $100 to pick Rodney up and carry him out
during his intro.
So he does the intro, and then he literally picks up Rodney Bingenheimer and carries him out of Gibson Amphitheater.
For our friends listening from...
Slings him over his shoulder and just goes.
From Baton Rouge to Boise on the Kevin and Bean Network, Rodney Bingenheimer is a legendary Los Angeles DJ who's about, I don't know, 5'3" and weighs about 90 pounds.
Yes. Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And has been working for a real long time. And Kevin paid a dude to throw him over his shoulder and carry him out.
To carry him out. And he did it. And then people came up to me afterwards and they were like, what was wrong with Rodney? Can he not walk? Because I saw that guy carrying him out.
Did Rodney look like freaked out?
No.
Or panicked,
you know what?
Or anything?
The guy that I paid to do it was so smart. He goes, you know, sometimes security can be a problem and, you know, I'll take care of you. So he picks him up and carries him out. And after that, and this is how smart that guy was, Rodney went, thank you.
How about that?
How smart is he? And then I still had to pay him. But it was worth it, so much so. I mean, that was just awesome.
That's the best.
That was the best, yeah. And then there was Fletcher.
Well,
and then there was, before we get to Fletcher, let me tell the most awkward conversation I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Yes.
People backstage?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's somebody that you know. It's a former intern of ours named Heather.
Okay. Oh, Heather. Yes, Heather. Of course. We bought her boobs back in the day.
Yes, you did.
She's standing in the hallway, and this guy comes up, and she knows him clearly. And she turns to me, and she said, oh, my God, this guy lost, like, a person. She said to him, you look so great. He must have lost, like, 150 pounds or something. She's like, this is – and she went on. I was thinking, okay, he was fat. Take it easy. He's not anymore, you know. But she was trying to give him a compliment. She was being over the top, just like, wow, you look good. What's your secret, cancer? Cancer.
No.
And what did Heather say?
She just crumbled. Oh. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. But then they started laughing about it.
And he nailed her?
No, but they started laughing about it, kind of like, yeah, that was awkward, but you didn't know, and it's okay, and we're laughing and everything. And he said he was trying to get a job with her. So then I thought, everyone's laughing. It's okay now. We all are cool now.
Right? Mm-hmm. The ice has been broken.
Right. So he says, you know, you should hire me. And I said, yeah, it'll be a short-term hire. And no one thought that was funny.
Oh,
Kevin.
They wouldn't let me play.
But it's one thing to say, hey, I lost a lot of weight. That was a side benefit that's good of having the disease. It's another thing to say you've got months to
live.
But
I thought we were all in the same no. group and we were laughing. And
no.
I may have had a little to drink.
Too far.
And speaking of stuff to drink, Fletcher from Pennywise.
God bless him.
Best man alive.
When he shows up, that's when the party gets started.
Which is exactly what I said. He came backstage Saturday night, and I was like, the party has now begun. And he goes, you are right. So he gets there, and he's hanging out all night, and he gets into the pit during AFI. He doesn't have the right wristband or anything, but right. It's Fletcher. He's like, for those of you who don't know, Pennywise, 6'8", 300. He's yep. a huge guy. So he forces his way into the pit. The security get him. They toss him out. He's fine. He's going to go back to the hotel. He goes out to try and find a tram to the hotel, and he can't. There's not one right there.
You mean he wants a shuttle? He's trying to get on a bus to head back to the hotel. There are no buses, but he does see a Universal Studios tram for tourists.
For those of you that haven't been to Universal, it's one of those trams that has like six cars on it that mm-hmm. you can put hundreds of people in, and they give the tour around Universal. So he sees that and jumps in it and starts it. The keys are in it or what? However it is startable, he starts it. And he's going to drive it to the hotel.
Oh, my God, right? No.
And just, he's probably going to give it to the valet and go, take care of this. And the last time I was there, somebody ruined it.
It's a pretty quiet party, Murray.
It's only just started, Jermaine. Yeah. Look at Brett. He's having a good time.
That's right. He sure is.
So he tries to go to the hotel but gets lost and ends up taking the tour down through Universal Studios.
It's really
Studios.
Easy to get lost right. back there.
He gets down by the Jaws exhibit, and the tram runs out of gas.
Oh,
so now he's stuck like a quarter of a mile from where he was and about a mile from where he wants to be.
And it's 1 o'clock in the morning and he's faced.
So then this old dude that saw it happening in a van, I guess a security guy or something, comes up. Fletcher, I think, described him as the Crypt Keeper. We'll have to ask him all the details tomorrow because I'm trying to piece the story together.
Okay.
Comes in, puts him in the van. He says, okay, let's go. And then he starts taking him to the security holding place or whatever. So Fletcher, from what I hear, grabbed the emergency brake and stopped the van and fought for just a second with the Crypt Keeper because the Crypt Keeper was old and weak and Fletcher's huge. Jumped out. From what I hear, the police were called and he was hiding in one of the airplanes in the world of war. What was it?
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. And there's an airplane or something there, and he's hiding there.
This it is seems like you could hide
right?
on the lot but pretty well, right?
But yeah. Who could hide less than Fletcher?
But he is
he's huge.
Yeah, huge
guy,
that's yeah. true.
So he's hiding, and the police show up, and they put him in the car.
And they find him. Oh, my God.
And then they ask the Crypt Keeper who he is, and the Crypt Keeper has no clue.
Right.
What does he know Pennywise? How does that guy know? So he doesn't have any idea who he is, so the police let him go. But Universal banned him for life.
Oh.
For life. He can never go back there.
Until Pennywise plays a show
yeah,
at Gibson, right?
That's what
I'm saying.
Of course,
because that's
sure.
different. That's yeah. Pennywise.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he took a tram ride. And I thought that was amazing. It was like 1 a.m. The text started flying. Oh, no, Fletcher. Well, what happened? He was on a tram. Oh, my God. The police are here. What do we do? Oh, it was so awesome.
But he's so your people. Because you
love
absolutely,
them.
If you saw one of those trams and had the keys in it, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, you would so take that for a ride, right?
In a second. He's my people.
It's like a one-man party.
It is. It is very much so. We'll talk to him about that on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Beecher.
Another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman in a minute. Speaking of Ralph, who was Ralph on last night's Family Guy?
It's he today that you can see Family Guy on DVD, and yes, it's for free. But how do I win that DVD that I don't want to buy? Or the skater, maybe he's the waiter. All you have to guess is who was Ralph on the Family Guy.
Well done, Omar. Here's your prize today. If you can tell us who was Ralph Garman, one of the voices on the Family Guy show on Fox, you get a copy of Family Guy's next Star Wars series called Something 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 Dark Side on DVD and Blu-ray in stores December 22nd.
And it's hard because I'm such a big star. I have such a huge role on Family
well,
Guy.
First of all, you're Peter, so that's not going to
right.
count.
And I'm also Brian. I'm also
Brian.
Stewie. So those are the
you're
big...
You're Chris and Meg.
Chris and Meg, of course. Lois. I play Lois,
on
the show.
Right. But
yes.
We don't want... Those aren't the ones we're looking for. We're looking for smaller.
Who else was Ralph on Family Guy is what this
Cleveland?
Game should be called.
Yeah. It's one of those if you...
He was Giggity, whatever that guy's name is.
If you hiccup, you missed it. One of those roles.
All right.
I have on Family Guy.
This game is gaining momentum because we debuted it last week. And yes. We got some pretty good calls. This week, I think people are on to us. So let's see what they got. Why don't we start with Adam? Adam is on line one. Adam, thanks for calling. Who was Ralph on last night's Family Guy?
It sounded like it was Dr. House.
Ralph, were you Dr. House?
No, you know, Hugh Laurie actually played Dr. House on Family Guy.
Okay.
That wasn't you?
No, I was wishing I could have got... There's a doctor who was opposite Dr. House in that scene.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was that you?
No, it wasn't me.
That was Dr. House, if you're going to save this patient, you'll need this.
See, I wanted to be that guy.
That wasn't you?
But I wasn't able to play that guy.
Okay. No. I think you would have been good at that
role. I would have been great in that role, and I would have been able to work with Dr. House, sure. Who I love.
I think it was too much for you, honestly. Yeah. All right, let's go to Raul. Hey, Raul.
Peter's lawyer?
Peter's lawyer. This guy?
Peter's lawyer.
When I was telling him about becoming the new head boss.
Hello, Mrs. Griffin. I'm Kenneth Gould, Mr. Peter Schmidt's attorney.
Were you Peter's lawyer?
No, I wasn't that guy.
No, it was not him.
Thank you for playing, Raul. Let's try Mike. Mike is on line 8. Mike, who was Ralph on last night's Family Guy?
Was he the black guy heart monitor?
No, I wasn't, but that was a great bit. They had Peter invented a black guy heart monitor.
Really?
So instead of going beep, beep, he goes, yeah, 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 yeah. When it flies out, he goes, no, he's gone. That was the black guy heart monitor. But it wasn't me. I wish I could have taken credit for that. It was not that terrible.
All right, let's try Travis, please. Line 3, playing for a new Family Guy DVD. Who was Ralph on last night's show?
No, you see, Mort's a recurring character. heavens forbid I get one of those roles. No, I usually play the hit and run character.
Line 6 is Sean. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show. Who was Ralph on last night's Family Guy?
I think it was the guy who was on the cereal box ad.
A Jeremy Irons cereal? No, I was not Jeremy Irons, sadly. It was a great impression, but it was not me.
All right.
If you're looking for marshmallows, there aren't any. It's quite bland.
That was Jeremy Irons.
Are we out of characters now? I mean,
no.
Were you on it?
I was on it, but you didn't get me.
All right, give me Conrad, because I think Conrad has the answer. I'm afraid that Ralph may be throwing a trick at us.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Conrad.
Hi.
Ralph has a history of being left out of many things that he does.
Right.
So I'm going to say that he was nobody on the show.
How dare you,
sir?
Cut
out! Cutting my floor. Is that correct?
I am on each and every episode of Family Guy at one point or another, sir. I am
not cutting room floor.
I am offended.
All right.
All right. Let's try.
I was in the show last night.
Let's try. Can we get to line 7 in 1 second here? Because this is a guest we haven't heard before. And apparently we're not going to hear it now either.
There we go. All right. Hello, line 7.
Ryan.
Hi, how are you?
Who is Ralph?
My guess is it one of the guys that Peter fired that used to work for Lois's dad?
One of the businessmen with the charts?
And in addition, Peter Schmidt Industries' pharmaceutical division is up over 30%.
That guy?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't.
All right.
Were you on the show?
I was on the show. Right. No one has named me
We're
yet,
not talking
though.
About seeing the show. We've all seen the
was
show. You were
a voice
on the show?
On Family
Let's
guy
go to Paul.
Night.
I think he's got it. Hey, Paul.
It's Stewie.
Yeah, I'm Stewie.
Were you Stewie?
Yes. For some strange reason, Seth MacFarlane didn't want to be Stewie last night.
Just last night.
All right, so we're almost out of time. Let's see if Jason can pull it out of his ass. Jason, line 5, welcome to the show. Who was Ralph on last night's Family Guy?
The Chinese guy.
No, I wasn't Chinese guy. It was very funny.
You do a great Chinese guy.
I think my house smell.
Yeah.
Not oniony.
They've named 50 characters.
I was none of those characters.
There aren't that many on a half-hour show.
There are tons of characters, and I was one of them.
You were one of them.
Yes. Let's try Matt, maybe. Line 2. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Callie. How's it going?
Hi, Matt.
What's up, Matt?
He was the security guard.
The one who led away Mr. Peterschmidt?
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Peterschmidt, but we work for Mr. Griffin now.
That was me. That was me.
You were on the show.
I was Peter's security guard.
I thought he was making up being on the show.
Me too.
You're absolutely right.
Matt, congratulations. Something, something, something. Dark Side coming out on DVD and Blu-ray in stores December 22nd. You have a copy just for being a Family Guy fan. Thanks for playing the game.
Who was Ralph on?
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:43. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.
Have a great holiday. Merry Christmas, everybody.
It's Monday.
Ho, ho, ho.
We love you. It's Monday.
Good to your mom. She's the only one you'll ever have.
don't do that
to
people.
Are we not?
I thought we were...
Don't do that to people, dude.
See you in January?
Don't do that to us.
Don't do that to people.
I'm not coming back this week at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
This is BS.
It's too much. Look, Acoustic Christmas should be the last duty of the year.
At the end of
Sunday night, you should be done.
Yes.
By the way, I'd like to point out that's the rest of the people working at this radio station have that policy. They're
that's
done.
The way they treat it.
They're still sleeping.
Yeah.
All right. One more look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Burton.
It's Monday, so we take a look at the weekend's hot movies at the box office, thanks to Daily Variety newspaper. The Princess and the Frog, Disney's brand new feature film, made $25 million this weekend. Little girls love the princesses.
Or the frogs.
Or the frogs. Yeah. But he becomes a prince, so it all works out. The Blind Side was number two at the box office, $15.5 million. Invictus, the new Clint Eastwood, Matt Damon film, $9.1 million. People love South African rugby. That's what we've learned this weekend.
You guys ever watched rugby on TV?
I have watched.
Can't make heads or tails.
No, I don't understand it, but I've watched it.
Watch it and go.
It's nothing like soccer.
And I know are amongst the toughest athletes in the world, rugby players.
It's like soccer with football with, I don't know. I can't make it. It's so fun to watch, though, because you literally can't figure it out.
Roman Greco wrestling thrown in.
Really?
A lot of grab ass.
And then they pile on top of each other. Then they kick a field goal when they're running. I don't know. I've tried.
And they hit each other really hard and they wear no pads.
None.
Just shorts and t-shirts.
They're the strongest, craziest people on this planet.
Yeah. The Twilight Saga, New Moon, was fourth. Disney's A Christmas Carol was fifth. Then Brothers 2012, Old Dogs, Armored, and Ninja Assassin.
Hey.
Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies and lists, the American Film Institute, which is a highly regarded organization.
Yeah, they played Saturday night at the concert.
No, that's AFI. That's not the same thing.
Has announced their pick for the top 10 films of 2009. Always a good list. If you're looking for a collection of good films to check out, these are ones you probably should check out in no particular order. Here are the top 10 films as chosen by the American Film Institute. Coraline, the animated film Coraline, they thought was one of the best movies of the year. The Hangover. Here's the thing about AFI is that, unlike a lot of other critical groups, they're not prejudiced against comedy, which I always enjoy looking at their list.
And that's crazy that other critics are. Because it's just as hard to write and make a good comedy as it is a good drama.
Harder, I think. Mm-hmm. And yet many critics do not give them the same weight. So I'm glad to see Hangover made the list. The Hurt Locker, which as soon as Kevin brings in, we're all going to watch.
I don't have it. What are you talking about?
You have that pirated copy, remember?
I don't have anything.
You've got that pirated copy.
I do not have
Remember it. When you said, don't tell the cops, I've got a pirated copy of that movie and I'll bring it in?
I don't remember that happening.
Remember Kevin sent his kids in with a video camera to shoot it for
him? I do remember that,
That didn't happen.
The Messenger.
What's that?
I don't know. It's one of the best movies of the year, though. I know that much.
Which one's The Messenger?
Is this where they pick some that haven't come out yet or something?
No. These are all been out. 2009.
Man, I seen that movie, too, and I fell asleep on it.
The Messenger. Right. If anyone in the other room is still listening, if you can
Messenger.
IMDb The Messenger for us and see who's in that and what's in that. It's probably a foreign flick, I'm guessing. Precious, based on a novel pushed by Sapphire, made their list.
I count that off just for the title.
Or she fat. She is fat.
Very big.
Oh.
Very huge.
Oh, fat.
Not skinny.
Oh.
Not small.
Oh, I'm exhausted how fat she is.
I know. I haven't seen the movie. I understand that she's a very troubled young woman. She's very sad, but it's not for lack of food.
No.
That's one thing she can't complain about.
But she's not going hungry.
Right, exactly.
That much I know.
There is plenty of food.
Has a fat forehead.
Yes.
That's all you need to know about how fat she is. How fat do you have to be to have a fat forehead?
Because it goes everywhere else first.
No one goes, look how fat my forehead's getting. No one ever says that when they look in the mirror. Yeah. Only really fat people have that trouble.
That's true.
Fat. A Serious Man. Great film by the Coen brothers that I recommend highly. I enjoyed it enormously.
I want a good movie.
A Serious Man and a Single Man also on that list.
Single Man's good.
Is it good? You've seen that one already?
I'm dying to see that. What is that?
Mike saw the closeted homosexual movie. Exactly. Yeah, what a surprise.
Is that Tom Ford?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know that one.
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth.
All right.
Sugar. Anyone?
Sugar.
I've heard of that word.
What?
Anyone?
I've heard of that. Is it the top 10 shows on the Food Network?
Is that the Mariah Carey movie?
No way.
That was
Glitter.
That was Glitter.
Am I right? Is that actually about sugarcane fields and like...
I hope not.
A documentary?
Yeah, like
a documentary about sugarcane fields.
Oh, I hope. I hope that's the case.
That sounds great.
Do we have anyone in the other room?
No.
We do. The Messenger. We got The Messenger up.
Okay.
That's the Woody Harrelson movie where he plays the guy who works for the armed forces who has to go to people's homes and tell them that their sons and daughters have passed.
All right. Now we're right.
That's supposed to be a great, great film.
Okay, right. Good.
So,
and that one has not come out yet?
It has come out.
Okay.
Yeah, it was out in November.
I'm way
apparently getting rave reviews. Sugar, though. We had a team working on Sugar. We'll get back to you on that one.
By the way, you haven't said number one yet, but if it's not Zombieland or District 9, I'm out.
They did not make the list this year.
Neither of them?
Up made the list. Okay. Yeah. Pixar animated film.
All right. Sure.
And Up in the Air, the George Clooney film that I enjoyed very much, also in the list.
Where's District 9? Everyone who saw that movie loved it.
May have come out too early in the year.
Yeah, maybe.
And people have forgotten about it.
Okay. That's a good list, though, in general.
It is. Sugar? Sugar, anyone? Sugar?
Let's see.
Dominican
here.
Baseball star Miguel Sugar Santos is recruited to play the U.S. minor leagues.
Doesn't sound good.
Is that a documentary about this dude? Is he a real dude? Or is this a fictional
movie? Yeah, look at IMDb.
You got me.
Well, anyway, there you go. Thought you might be interested. You care about the top 10 TV shows they've chosen?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we doing lists?
So. Yeah.
Real quick. Big Bang Theory.
Bang.
Big Love. Friday Night Lights.
What?
Glee.
Yep.
Mad Men.
Yep.
Modern Family. The number one ladies detective agency. No.
What's that?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Okay.
Nurse Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Party Down. And True Blood, they said, are the top 10 TV shows on television.
It's a good list.
No Curb? Curb Your Enthusiasm? Come on.
No Curb.
Come on.
I can't believe you were able to spit out the words Friday Night and Lights together and not gag the heat you give us for watching that show.
I just ripped it off like a bandit.
By the way, no Dexter? Come on.
Look, I am not AFI.
I'm saying that's a bad choice if they don't put Dexter on there.
This is the American Film Institute's choices.
No Hitler's Bodyguard?
No Hitler's Bodyguard. No the history of the ball peen hammer, Mike. Nothing you watch.
Love that.
Here's something that's not on the list of top 10 TV shows and should be. Jersey Shore. Apparently, high-profile Italian-Americans are still speaking out against this MTV reality show, saying it paints Italian-Americans in a bad light. Alyssa Milano now is speaking out against
the Milano
Jersey
family?
Shore.
You do not want her on your bad side.
My husband actually showed me the trailer on YouTube last night, and I got upset. It upset me, said Alyssa Milano. I was like, turn that off. So, no, I don't think I'll be watching that.
Hey, these are real people who live and exist and are doing the things that they do on this TV show, right?
Yes.
This isn't somebody making up a caricature, a stereotype.
No.
These are actual people.
I don't know how you can protest real people.
Yeah.
Not to be outdone. The cast is responding.
Yeah.
Here's a statement from Snooki, who addressed this controversy on the Wendy Williams show.
Oh,
now, there is a brain trust.
Wow.
Snooki and Wendy Williams getting together on the same couch.
Awesome.
Here is her statement. I'm going to read it verbatim, and it is magic.
Please read it in the accent, though.
The Italian whatever, national whatever their organization is, they don't understand that Guidos and Guidettes are good-looking people that, you know, like to make a scene and be the center of attention and just take care of themselves.
Got a point.
Beautiful.
They are old-fashioned. They don't know that. They think it's offensive because maybe in their time it was offensive, but now it's kind of a compliment. So they don't understand that, and that all we are trying to say. They say we are overreacting to the show. We are 22 to 29 just having fun at the shore. They are taking it way out of proportion. Says Snooki.
Wow.
That's to be a lawyer.
That's so stupid.
So she put that in perspective.
What happened?
The Italian whatever, national whatever the organization is.
She served
them. Addressing.
She served
but
them.
But like Lisa says, how do you protest real people?
The good news is this week, Snooki gets punched in the face.
Oh, no. So they edited it out, though.
What?
They edited it out of the show.
What do you mean?
They did.
Too many protests.
How can they edit it out of the show? They showed it in the coming attractions last week.
Because of the heat from the... It ended up on YouTube and people complaining about it.
No!
Yes, I'm afraid so.
No!
That doesn't mean you can't still drive
to
New Jersey and punch her.
Dean didn't edit it.
Well, you can't do that. MTV can't show me her getting punched in the face saying, tune in next week. This is what we're going to show you. And then they don't show it.
Well, they shouldn't.
That's punches interruptus.
That is what it is. That's illegal, too.
They are just big punch teases is what they are.
I am sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that is the fact.
Write a letter.
Wow, this is just, today's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
I'm done now.
Oh, really?
I'm leaving.
Oh, come on.
Celebrity birthdays. Cliff Williams of AC/DC is 60 years old. Legend in the porn industry, Ginger Lynn, is 47 years old. Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical is 21 years old. She's just 21.
Yeah. And set for life, by the way. Never has to work another day as long as she lives.
Spectacular.
Shape.
She should take a razor.
Mm-hmm.
You should take the business end of a razor and get intimate with it.
Kill you the groom?
That's all I'm saying.
That's what we're saying.
Can't believe Snooki doesn't get punched. Did we get to see her writhing in pain after the punch?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, there's no shortage of the clip on the internet. You can find it everywhere.
But I wanted it on big in screen, context. High def, yeah. 60 inches on my wall, me sitting about a foot away from it with the TiVo going back and forth every 10 seconds, back and back and back and
she
back.
She gets destroyed.
She gets punched.
What was the, I don't know anything about this show. Was she trying to steal his beer or something? Or
apparently he was
fight,
trying
or?
To take her cocktail. He was okay. trying to steal the cocktail off the bar, and she gets in his face, and he punched her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad.
Okay.
No, we don't get to see it.
Sorry.
No, that's
all right.
TV blows. All right. That's it. I'm done.
By the way, Kat is here. She was up late last night. She's doing the
this should be good.
She's doing the Marine crawl down the hallway. So I don't know how that's going to go.
We should turn off the lights now before she gets in because, you know, she can't see.
She needs it dark in here.
Yes.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Mr. Skin on the program.
Oh, my God.
Best human ever. 2009 top celebrity nude scenes.
Always a interesting list.
We have Matt Money Smith talking sports.
Woo!
We have possibly Seth MacFarlane.
What?
We have Fletcher.
Fantastic.
From Pennywise, we can ask about the fun that happened Saturday night.
I heard he's got a new job as a tour guide.
We have Rob Dyrdek on the program tomorrow.
Who?
So, Rob Dyrdek.
I'm not familiar
That's going to be a big thing. Hey, Kat.
Hi, Kat.
Hey, Kat. How's it going?
That's tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
You have a job talking.
Did you?
How did that ever happen?
Have you been to bed at all yet?
I got about 4 hours.
Can't tell. Sounds great.
Oh, I want to listen to you all day. That's going to be comfortable as a listener.
And by the way, she sounded that like voice. That like at the beginning of Sunday night.
Yeah.
Exactly. Really, just the whole night. She was like...
That's beautiful. Well, Kat's going to be playing a lot more music than usual today. So stick around for Kings of Leon, System of a Down, some old school Beastie Boys, Linkin Park, Offspring, and more straight ahead right after this on Good Old K.